much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. This is William Shatner, and I would like to invite you to take a journey with me into the 21st century. So take the next few minutes and listen very closely. You'll be amazed at what you hear.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe. Radar has reached the moon. Now radio has mothered television, and the future promises even more startling things to come.
Let's go to Mike in Lenox. This sounds very funny. Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
For the morning, guys!
Yeah!
Been a while.
Yes!
Well played, my friend. Well played.
And now,
what is going on? Not only here, but generally speaking,
our feature presentation.
I miss that guy.
I know.
Santa Monica guy used to prank us all the time.
He moved.
I think he moved to Texas, if I recall correctly.
Bastard.
Man. There's no excuse for that, by the way. You can still call from Texas. You can still listen to us on the internet.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday, the 19th of August.
I just asked Muggs if the dog days were still going on or if they were over or not. And he was very flummoxed by the question.
He was, yeah. I'm not sure when
they started and how long they go.
And then he realized the song was playing. He goes, oh, yeah, they're over.
Over. Sorry, the caffeine hasn't kicked in yet. Bunch of professionals we work with here at K-Rock, I'll tell you. Well, here's an interesting story, Kevin. I know you have suggested a couple of times lately in the meeting that it may be time to revisit one of our all-time favorite phone topics, and that is people who fake their own death.
I love it.
Hard to imagine the circumstances under which a person would choose that, because it seems like it would be very difficult to get away with that.
Especially these days.
Especially
these
days,
right. Before
the
internet, maybe you can get away with it. But with the internet, mm-hmm. You can do searches and all kinds of stuff. It seems like it's a possible lie.
Yeah.
Well, here's Alex Lancaster is the young lady's name. She's British, 23 years old. She did a year abroad studying in America, in Connecticut. And while she was at college there, she met a young man, also 23, named Tucker Blanford. And they fell very deeply in love. And they dated the whole year she was in America. And then she had to go back to England. But they stayed in touch, talking on the phone all the time. He was such a gentleman when we were together. He showered me with jewelry. We would go out for posh dinners on the 10th of every month to celebrate the day we got together. I've never been in love like that before. I met his family. They treated me like a daughter. His mother and I became so close.
Wow.
They talked every day when she went back. He was planning to come over and visit her in England, but he called and said that he had gotten involved in some trouble and he had a court date and he couldn't leave. He said he had gone to a party where some underage kids were having alcohol and that he somehow was involved and had to go to court. So he was able to – had to cancel his visit to Britain. But they continued to date long distance, and eventually he proposed to her.
Okay.
Their wedding day was this past Saturday in Connecticut. They were going to get married at the school where they met. There's a beautiful place on campus where they met that they were going to decide to get married. Well, a few weeks ago, she got a phone call from a man who claimed to be her fiancé's father.
Right.
Who said that, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but Tucker was deeply depressed and he wanted to die and he threw himself in front of a car. The man explained that they had been trying to send Tucker off to a psychiatric unit for help, but it was too late. And she said, I couldn't breathe. It was absolutely devastating.
It's bizarre when you bring in your parents to lie.
She got off the phone and she was completely emotionally shattered. But a short time later, needing more information, she called the house again. And his mom answered the phone.
Yes.
His mom didn't know anything about him being dead.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
And said, I'm surprised to hear from you because he told me you guys broke up. Well, she got to the bottom of it, and the man who had called her as his father was him, disguising his voice.
Oh, my God.
He disguised his voice well enough that she did not recognize it?
She did not recognize that it was him, and he had made the entire thing up and had faked his own death to get out of the wedding. She had already spent the money on the wedding dress and on the invitations. They had lined up a photographer. They had their honeymoon planned in the United States. He has since texted to say he is sorry and he has paid back half of the money that he owes her for wedding-related expenses. She says, I don't think I'll ever forgive him. To pretend to be dead to get out of marrying me is just gutless. If he loved me, how could he do such a thing? Her ex-fiancé says, I'm a terrible, awful person. I knew I shouldn't have told her I was dead, but I didn't know what else to do. She's an amazing girl, but I got scared. I had to get out of the relationship. It was moving too fast, and with us being in different countries, it was just really hard. At the time, I felt like I couldn't tell her the truth, and I thought if I could just postpone everything, it would be better.
But postponing, meaning he's going to fake his own death, and then later he's going to come back.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm all right now.
I don't know. I can't imagine what his plan was beyond that, but it just seemed like he – I guess – look, we've talked a lot about how once the wedding machinery gets going, it sometimes can seem difficult to stop. There are too many people involved and too many expectations and too many broken hearts if you call it off. And I guess he just felt like he couldn't face that, and the easier way was just to fake his own death. So that's what he tried to do.
All right. We're going to have to do that soon, you know, and we're going to get plenty of calls.
The first time we did it, it was shocking. I was sure there was going to be no calls. The phone lines were full.
You can't imagine that many people in this day and age fake it, where they just try to get out of maybe the IRS, maybe they owe somebody gambling money or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems bizarre that anyone would do it these days. But
she's in America this week, by the way. Maybe she's listening. She came to America anyway because they had their honeymoon scheduled, and she just did a tour of America by herself instead of going on a honeymoon.
Wow.
So good times.
Fun.
Yeah. Party. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
That was hardcore! Hardcore, baby!
Michael Chiklis will be joining us today.
Oh, I love him.
I love him too. So we're going to talk to him about his new movie,
okay.
When the Game Stands Tall, I think is the name of it.
Sounds right.
Okay. We have Doto, the international man of mystery, on the program
today. I like my Starbucks coffee is I like the vanilla brust.
There is just a bit of the magic.
Uh-huh. Top 10 worst actors turned singers.
That's a great category.
Look out, Lindsay Lohan.
Man, oh man, is this some of this bad? Top 10 or bottom 10, but it's the worst ones that they said, I'm an actor so I can also sing. They tried it and it did not come
out well. Very few managed to do that.
Hey, when you look at the list of people who aren't in the top 10, you know, people like Russell Crowe and Kevin Costner and William Shatner and people like that, that gives you an idea of what made the top 10.
Yeah.
We also have, was it Bean?
How dare you?
One of our latest games, which everybody seems to love.
It's never me, by the way.
Oh, we'll see.
Just so you know.
We'll see. You don't know.
The Pokemon World Championships took place. I'm not sure if you are aware of this.
I don't even know what?
It's a...
I mean, I know what Pokemon is, kind of.
Yeah, but there's a card game that's associated with it.
Wow.
And they have World Championships.
No idea.
Yeah.
Is it only little kids?
Oh, no.
It's adults.
Oh, it's game playing age. It's 22 year olds that have been playing it their entire time. But
Pokemon is forever, you guys. Come on.
It's awesome. And the announcers are going crazy. They can't believe they were there to see it.
Oh my.
Yeah, it's just all nuts. You came up with an app. We're going to want to talk to you later today. And comedian Jay Moore.
Yay!
We'll be joining us in studio as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Show Is Beat Now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
It is Tuesday morning. Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, dude?
Bean mentioned it is Tuesday. That's new release day, you know. That's where you get a chance to find out what's new and available for your entertainment dollar. Here's what you can pick up today if you're so inclined. New CDs, My Everything by Ariana Grande. Oh... Are you looking forward to the new Ariana Grande CD?
I can't wait to get that.
I am. She has got an amazing voice.
Yeah, it's King of Mexico yesterday.
He is a 13-year-old girl.
A half hour.
She's so good.
I like that saying.
She is hot, though. I gotta give her that.
But that's not what he likes.
No. Oh. My girlfriends and I listen to it when we braid each other's hair and write in our durries. Waking the Fallen, Resurrected by Avenged Sevenfold. Well, it sounds like a lot of action going on there. They're waking the fallen and they're resurrecting and they're avenging.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Black Hollywood by Wiz Khalifa. Sparks by Imogen Heap. Space Invader by Ace Frehley. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Ace Frehley has a new solo album out?
He still keeps turning them out.
God bless him. New on DVD, Amazing Spider-Man 2 with Andrew Garfield and the lovely Emma Stone. Jamie Foxx, of course, as Electro.
Was that emo Spider-Man?
No.
I don't remember.
Come on, man. The Quiet Ones with Jared Harris, also on DVD. On TV shows on DVD, Boardwalk Empire Season 4, Once Upon a Time Season 3, The Good Wife Season 5, NCIS Los Angeles Season 5, NCIS Prime Season 11, Parks and Rec Season 6, Mindy Project Season 2, Parenthood Season 5, and Revolution Season 2.
I wonder.
Those are all your options.
I wonder if anyone ever buys TV collections on DVD anymore.
I think people do.
Yeah, I think they do. Makes sense.
Just that so many of them are available for, you know, for streaming. They're available all the time when you want.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, a lot of people still don't have their computers hooked up to their televisions, and if you want to watch a TV show in your surround sound on your giant screen and everything, a lot of people go to the DVD option.
Then we don't need those people anymore. If they haven't figured out the internet by now, then we're leaving them behind. We're not going to wait for them.
They don't want to watch television on their computers, so they...
Fiend's in a rush.
Yeah, I know. He's
good. I've just got no time for you if you can't watch the shows.
At this point, you ought to be able to have the internet hooked up to your TV no matter who you are or where you are.
How about don't worry about it? How about you don't worry about it? Just go about your business and leave other people alone. How about
I'm happy to leave them behind.
Just leave them alone. Don't leave them behind. Just leave them alone.
Just saying.
Speaking for everyone on the
planet.
Get
with the program.
Leave us alone.
We hear what you're
saying. That's what we're saying. Dead from New York, it's Don Pardo.
That is touching on so many levels.
Legendary announcer for Saturday Night Live, Don Pardo, passed away at the age of 96 yesterday. 96. He had worked on that show for nearly 40 years. The last 10... he would just record the intros to the show from his home in Arizona and send one out there to NBC.
So he was still doing it.
Still announcing Saturday Night Live, yeah.
He's the only announcer they ever had, Kevin, since the show began. He's been doing it. And he worked for NBC for decades before the show began.
It's impressive.
He began as a staff announcer at NBC in 1944. Told the nation that President Kennedy was shot in a bulletin on NBC in 1963. Began Saturday Night Live's announcer in 1975 on the very first show. Also did a cameo appearance in the Weird Al Yankovic music video for his song, I Lost on Jeopardy. Remember that? Because he used to be
Hells
the announcer for Jeopardy.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. He used to be the announcer for Jeopardy as well. In fact, Al took time to tweet yesterday, very sad to hear the passing of my old friend Don Pardo. Truly one of the all-time greats. Rest in peace, Don Pardo.
I have a story to share on this, Ralph, if you'll permit me here.
I can't wait.
I was watching some Don Pardo clips last night, and there was a clip where he was talking about Weird Al, and he was starting to tell a story, but he was only alluding to it. He wouldn't come out and say what it was, but it involved being in Chicago for a parade, and he was the guest of honor, and he said, I should tell you that. I'm not going to tell you. I'll give you a hint. No, I'm not going to tell you. He was just really going back and forth on a story that involved Weird Al, a lady, as he put it, and a hot tub, and he eventually decided not to tell the story. So I tweeted last night. I said, well, now that Don Pardo's gone, maybe Al Yankovic will finally tell us what the story is that involved a hot tub, a lady, and Don Pardo in Chicago.
Right.
And he DM'd me last night and said, I have never seen that clip before, and I have honestly no idea what story Don Pardo was talking about. So I don't know if he had gone bye-bye or he was thinking of somebody else, but it's now a mystery that will haunt Al for life to try to figure out what the hell Don Pardo was talking about.
I'm just guessing here that it's not going to haunt him for life.
I don't know. How could it not?
Because who cares?
It'll haunt Bean.
At some point, who cares?
What could Don Pardo have meant, he'll wonder?
Right. For today.
Right. Has stopped already thinking about it.
Yeah.
To me, it's up there with the mystery of the Edmund Fitzgerald. It's like, it's going to, I'm going to now take it to my grave, trying to figure it, put the pieces together.
This is Weird Al's Malaysian airliner. That he just can't
right.
He just can't find.
He's going to wake up sweaty in the middle of the night going, what did he mean?
Bean's got to know.
No.
So your story was you heard about a story and then went to get to the bottom of it and then did not find out what was going on with the story?
My story was that was the climax.
Yes,
that was the result of your story was you don't have an answer for the story.
I don't have an answer, but I think it's funnier this way that nobody knows what the story is and now the man has gone and taken it to his grave and we may never know.
Wow.
But
you're a yarn spinner. You're like a young Mark Twain.
The problem with that whole story is that no one knows or cares about the story you're talking about.
But
I did.
I did DM with Weird Al.
Yeah,
that's what he got to say. That's the whole point of the story is for him to say, well,
no.
Then Al DM'd me and
he said,
I don't know. And I said, oh, we'll talk about this later when we do more DMing, Al.
Not at all. That's not the case at all. I just thought it was a funny story.
He's got to know.
No. Today's celebrity birthday is former President Bill Clinton is 68 years old today. Actor Gerald McRaney, you know him as from Major Dad. He was on Southland. Of course, Simon and Simon, let's not forget.
It's not ringing a bell at all, but
not
all right.
The theme's not ringing a bell really. At all. Peter Gallagher is 59. Adam Arkin is 58. John Stamos is 51. F you, John Stamos, looking like that at 51. You bastard. You bastard. You do, Stamos. Kira Sedgwick's 49.
Hurry up, Ralph. I have to get to the internet to try and find that story that Don Pardo was going to tell but didn't.
I'll get to the bottom of it.
Yes. Research.
Kevin Dillon's 49. Matthew Perry's 45. Jace Robertson of the Duck Dynasty family is 45 as well. Erica Christensen turns 32 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Are you kidding me? I missed it. It was this past weekend. I didn't see it.
This past weekend, I was trolling the internet, as I do. Looking for porn. And
back on chat roulette like you are with your pants off.
And I came across a tweet that said, stop what you're doing. The Pokemon World Championships are on right now. Click here.
Hey, how about a little heads up? How about a little advance notice so I could be there and see it?
Now, I didn't know that there was a Pokemon World Championship.
That's understandable.
I'm not really familiar with Pokemon. I mean, I just figured it was, a cartoon for how many years? I'm sorry, Dave, what?
A long time.
Yeah. Okay. But they had World Championships, and there was an entire crowd, and there were announcers, and there were two guys that were battling head-to-head to become the champion of the Pokemon world.
I bet there's a lot of money in that. I bet, a lot of these video game championships that we see, there's tens of thousands of dollars probably available for prize money for people who are good enough in the world.
I wonder what the prize money is. I'm not sure exactly the way they did it. But, boy, I'll tell you, they treat it like it's the most serious championship that has ever been played in history. And there's a lot of language that if you don't know Pokemon, which I don't, you will understand none of it.
Was there anybody singing or anyone there playing the Pokemon theme?
It's Pokemon to understand the power that's inside.
Pokemon, gotta catch 'em.
It's you and me. I know it's my destiny.
Come on, didn't that just pump you up, Kevin? Didn't that just make you get there and trade some cards or turn over some dice or whatever it is they do?
No dice. They turn over cards and then they play them on someone else to block and then they've got energy cards. I'm not exactly that. By the way, that song was better than anything I saw, but I thought it was fascinating. So I tweeted out a link. You can watch. Basically, there's a camera that is straight looking down at the player's table. So basically, you can see the top of the heads of each contestant, mm-hmm. and then the playing surface where they're making their moves with their cards. And it got down to a very, very exciting time.
If he is, then how could he even power this shaman? He doesn't have. Does he have grass in hand?
Yeah, he has two in his hand. It seemed like.
My God, he's got grass in hand.
Drew into them, unfortunately, so he couldn't emerald slash them out of the deck.
Can't emerald slash them out of the deck? That's rough.
Oh boy, he does not get any more tense than this.
Yeah. That is where they had me. It does not get any more tense than this.
You're telling me.
It looks like Andrew's game, but you never know. You know, what if he gets end to one again? Then he doesn't have an energy, and he can't do that last bit of damage.
I think he's trying to figure out what to do. He can either red signal, bring out the shaman, or he can attach to Virizion EX, retreat, and then emerald slash for 70.
I hope he emerald slashes for 70. Whoa.
Yes. This is happening.
He's going to bring out the Shaman?
He's going to bring out the Shaman, yeah. If he can get it, I think. I'm not positive how it works.
Setting up a knockout on that Verizian yet. I don't know what's going to happen, Josh.
I can't handle the hype.
I really have no idea who's going to win this.
That guy is serious, and he said that many different times. I'm not sure I can handle this. This hype, this stress is too stressful for me. I can't take it. He kept saying that throughout the entire championship.
And here
it seems
comes
like the right play. 70 damage, perhaps another energy, but more importantly, keeping his Genesect DX on the bench now.
You do need to keep your Genesect DX on the bench now. That's very important.
You've been saying that your whole life.
Right, so here we go. What is Igor going to do? Of course, if he has an N here, that would be huge.
Yeah.
He could put Andrew down to one card.
I would hate that.
That would be a game changer. But if he doesn't, it's just kind of wait and see what Andrew has. I got to imagine Shaman is going to come up this turn. We do see an enhanced hammer.
Now, again, I'd like to point out what you're seeing is guys turning over a card and then perhaps turning it back over.
Well, then what's all this talk of the enhanced hammer and everything like that? What are they referring to?
I have no idea. It's just cards, but I guess you can block somebody and you get extra energy, and it's like, so they give you powers?
Are they regular playing cards, or do they have little symbols on them?
They're the size of regular playing cards, but they're Pokemon cards, so they look completely
different.
Yeah,
well, they're cards with moves on them and powers and, you know, energy and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. So here's the exciting conclusion.
There's the energy and a bicycle. Does he draw an N?
Oh, man.
Oh! A muscle band.
He's got a muscle band.
Oh, boy.
Here comes Shaman. Revenge Blast.
Nope.
And there we see the plasma energy. That means a red signal onto the Genesect.
That's it. That's it. That's the game.
Words for that. Did you hear the crowd? It sounded like 10,000 people.
I have a question for you guys. By the way, there was over 3,000 people at the Washington Convention Center near the White House in D.C. Yes. If you were the world champion of Pokemon, if you're the man who just won that prize right there in that clip,
right,
would you ever tell anyone?
No. No, except for these. It was on the internet. I mean, people, I imagine they have a hierarchy. I'm sure there's the bad boy of Pokemon. You know what I mean? And there's the genius Pokemon. I mean, I'm sure there's all different kinds of characters. But that guy won with some kind of move.
So close. I know. Igor
Energy Surge is prized too bad.
I saw. He flipped it over immediately.
Oh, my goodness.
That was his saving grace. If Igor finds the energy switch,
right,
we'd see the incredible Shaman comeback.
Sure.
With the extra turn, just having to attach once more.
Did he say extra turn?
That sounded like extra turn.
He just gave Andrew the option to hit around. He didn't even need to deal with the Shaman.
Right.
Just pull up, knock out that Virizion.
Perhaps a little bit of irony. The Shaman not prized for Igor, but the energy switch to use it was.
That was ironic.
Right. The Shaman just is not good in the finals, apparently.
Nope. It brings a lot of hope. Harrison Levin in 2012, he had all this hope. Oh, what if I have this Shaman? I can move these energy.
It reminded him of the 2012 championships.
He's an old Shaman. Didn't have it. Here, Igor's got the Shaman, but it just can't ride it all the way. Ran out of energy toward the end.
Wow.
What a game. What a series.
What a series. What a game.
Oh, that was hardcore. Hardcore, baby.
So I don't know if you were what you were doing this weekend, but if you were not watching the Pokemon World Championships, you lose because that wins.
Michael Chiklis on the program today. Got a movie coming out this weekend. It looks pretty good. And our old friend Jay Moore joins us in about 20 minutes, doing 5 big shows in Ontario this weekend. That's all coming up in K-Rock. But first, we were talking last week, I think it was off the air, about Michael Cera, the actor from Arrested Development, who put out an album. Kind of a surprise release. None of us knew he was recording it. It just appeared on the internet one day. And it was okay. Kind of indie rock. And it got people starting to talk about what other actors have decided that they are also musicians.
Well, here's the problem. When you're good at one thing, you can be a great actor.
And
you assume that you're probably good at most things.
Talent is talent, right?
Right. So then you go,
I can do that.
Album, how hard can it be? And then they make an album, then they realize it's harder than it looks.
And the next thing you know, you're Carmen Electra. You're right. Out there trying to do music, right? So there's a website that I am not familiar with, but apparently it's very popular, called Ranker.com. And that's all they do is lists on the internet that people then vote things up and down. So it's basically, it's crowdsourcing a list. And they'll have everything from celebrities who have aged the worst to what's the best ice cream, who's the funniest stand-up comedian, who's the best Dallas Cowboy of all time. So there's just nothing but thousands and thousands of lists, and you go on and you vote, okay?
Oh, wow.
So
you must never leave that site.
No kidding. It can't be number 13. I've got to vote again.
It's list heaven. Bean's died and gone to list heaven.
It is self-selecting, though. I mean, it's not official or sure. It's just the people who choose to vote. So there's one up there on the worst actors turned musicians of all time.
Oh.
Now, who comes to mind on that list, Ralph? This is right in your wheelhouse when you think about actors who have become musicians.
Lorne Greene, Ringo.
Oh, my God.
Nice pull.
I forgot about that.
He, unfortunately, is not on the list because one who uses the internet knows who he is.
Ringo!
But there are so many
names
on here.
The Legend of Bilbo Baggins.
Oh, that's pretty bad. That's a good guess.
It's a great guess. I don't see Leonard Nimoy in the top 50 either. Although his friend William Shatner from Star Trek came in at number 12 on the list.
Sure, yeah.
Some of the others who just missed the top 10, and then we'll count down the top 10 worst actors turned musicians for you, include Jada Pinkett Smith at 13, Mr. T at 14. Billy Bob Thornton at 50, who, by the way, has a little bit of a side career as a musician. He's got four or five albums out.
You wouldn't say that to Tom Petty.
Wouldn't say that to Tom Petty at all.
That's very true.
Kevin Bacon is number 18. Kevin Costner, number 19. Don Johnson, 20. Russell Crowe, 21. So I don't know. I mean, this seems like sort of a legitimate list,
I think, Don Johnson.
You missed
Don Billy as a singer?
I'd
love that.
You don't miss that.
Awesome.
So I thought it might be fun to go through in the opinion of the people who choose to vote on Ranker.com, who are the 10 worst actor-turned-musicians. And I will warn you that their definition of actor is pretty low because there are several reality TV stars in this top 10, including at number 10. Do you remember that Heidi Montag put out a song?
Oh, that's right.
Just barely. Here it is.
Yep.
Oh. You're just mad because I'm sexy, famous, and rich.
I am useless when it comes to when we do bits like this where we play those little pop songs, because that doesn't sound that much different than half of the songs I hear on amp radio anyway. You know, like I can't really tell the difference between good music and bad music in that genre sometimes. Number 9 I know is awful because it's Keanu Reeves and his band Dogstar. Yo! That's Keanu. Remember his he was playing a lot for a while, remember?
Dogstar was for real, man.
Was it?
That's right.
Yeah, they toured and everything.
Oh, no kidding.
That's right. Number 8, and this one's going to hurt you a little bit, Ralph. Bruce Willis.
Bruno? The return of Bruno?
I'm afraid so.
Yeah, that's not.
Come on,
he should.
It seemed like even at the time when he made those records, it was kind of a joke.
Respect yourself.
It just seemed like he was in on the joke at least. He knew he wasn't good. He wasn't pretending to be a serious artist. I didn't think. As opposed to the artist at number 7 on the list of the worst actors turned musicians, Corey Feldman, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. He was special.
I hope he's still dressing up in Michael Jackson's old clothes.
By the way, as of a couple of years ago, he was still trying to do music.
Oh, yep. a couple of years ago. This year, a new video came out with him walking around with the girls in the lingerie. Remember the tour of his house? He's walking around.
Right.
That video of him at a party.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
Number 6, this is going to hurt some of our German listeners, but it's the Hoff.
Yeah.
Hey, the Berlin Wall would still be standing if it weren't for David Hasselhoff. And if you don't believe me, just ask him, okay?
That's not as good as Get In My Car, though. Remember that song?
What a hit. What's your evaluation on the quality of his singing? I mean, I know he's a character, but can he sing?
He's fine.
Yeah, I think he can sing.
It's how horrible the songs are. It's not really his singing that's so bad.
There are a lot of people who can sing, who can, you know, hit the notes, for example, mm-hmm. but they're not really singers.
They're not really bringing anything right. special to it, right? Number five, I think it's a little bit unfair because it's a song from a soundtrack in which this actor played a musician. And if you're thinking Rhinestone, Ralph, you're ahead of me. It's Sylvester Stallone.
Stay out of my bedroom. Baby, if you can't take the heat.
Yeah. Oh, man, how is that not number one?
And how do you not play Drinkenstein, by the way, if you're going to play a song from the Rhinestone soundtrack?
I don't know Drinkenstein.
You don't know Drinkenstein?
Omar pulled the clips for us here. I
and
did
they
not
call do. Me Drinkenstein. You talk about how he gets evil when he drinks too much Budweiser.
Hey, Omar, would you pull some Drinkenstein?
We need some Drinkenstein, please.
Please, by Sylvester Stallone.
Number four, and I know, Kevin, this is one that you've been looking forward to because you recently found out that this actor has a couple of albums out as well, and he is the great Steven Seagal.
Whisper your wildest dreams. Well, girl, it's all right by me.
Now, that doesn't sound terrible to me, by the way. That doesn't sound awful to me.
It's not, but he is.
He's not really singing either.
Yeah, true. He's kind of whispering. He's whispering.
Now, I kind of wonder as we get into the top three here, if the distaste that people on the internet have for these celebrities as people might influence their voting.
Come on, in other words, Farrah Abraham.
Yeah, no kidding.
In other words, is it that their songs are so bad, or it's just that you hate these people, and that's why you want them high on this list?
But hold on, yes. Before you do number three, I just want to say if Tan Mom is not on this list, I'm going to burn this place down.
There's no Tan Mom.
Are you kidding? Tan Mom!
She had one single. She's not a singer. One novel.
You're wrong, sir.
She's no Farrah Abraham.
All right, I don't know the top three. Let's do it.
Number three is an artist who has had two or three albums. I don't know how much success, but based on what we're about to hear, hopefully not much. Lindsay Lohan is at number three.
Yeah, there's no reason that couldn't be on Kiss right now.
That sounded okay to me for that kind of music.
Yeah, yeah, me too. And didn't she start as a singer?
No.
I don't think so.
Before she was an actress? I thought she did.
She was a little child actress first.
Number two, and this is awful, I think we can all agree, and none of us are surprised to see Kim Kardashian on the list. Remember when she tried to float a music career a few years back?
Yeah. Yes.
Not really.
Oh, you don't remember?
Not really.
It was awful.
All right, here she is.
They play in my jam.
Lyrically, it's good.
Yeah, well, it's
she did an interview just this past week. I can't remember where she was talking about any regrets that she's had in her life, and she listed her attempt at a music career as her number one regret. By the way, above the sex tape, which
I guess the sex tape made her money.
It launched her family.
Family
and
money.
Kevin, you say Tan Mom.
Better be Tan Mom.
You, Ralph, who number one is on the list of the worst actors turned singers.
Better be damn Farrah Abramson.
Well, you're close. It's Paris Hilton.
Even though the guys are crazy, even though the stars are blind, if you show me real love, baby, I'll show you mine.
I'm embarrassed to say I didn't hate that song at the time either, by the way, Paris Hilton song.
I didn't hate it either.
I hate her, too, but of course she doesn't sing anymore. She just goes and makes $100,000 a night as a DJ.
Well,
so
right. She's an expert DJ now.
That's true. She still is in the music business, but there you go. That's according to what's happening and people voting on the internet right now. The top 10 worst actors turned singers. Jay Moore will be here in moments. First, though, Rob Scott, the show was beat on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's happening?
Unacceptable. That you would do a segment on singers, actors turned singers.
Right.
Mention Sylvester Stallone.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And not play the classic smash hit Drinkenstein.
I've never heard of this.
Well, that you're lost, sir.
Drinkenstein.
Was this in the film Rhinestone?
Of course, yes. The legendary song about Budweiser, you made me a monster. When he drinks, he becomes a horrible person.
I need to watch Rhinestone again.
Hell yeah, you do.
Really do.
Give me a little taste of Drinkenstein.
Budweiser, you created a monster, and they call me Drinkenstein. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Drinkenstein.
Wow.
Awesome.
You know, as not a parody, not a character in a movie, not a joke. He also sang the theme to a movie called Paradise Alley that he wrote and directed and starred in with,
doesn't matter.
That's going to make me nuts. It was the same guy he was in Judge Dredd with, Armando Asante.
Okay.
And he sang the theme to that song, to Paradise Alley.
And was it...
But it just straight, like, it's like a slow ballad and everything. They came from the streets. If you ever get a chance, take a listen. While we're talking about horrible music, yesterday, Taylor Swift announced her new album.
How dare you?
Oh, Bean. Please. Even you can't defend this thing.
Yeah. Oh.
You don't care for it, Ralph?
I have a whole story here. Let me get into it, and then I'll play the music part of it.
We'll play it from this end, Mr. Taylor Swift.
She released her what she's calling her first official pop album. Really? Has anyone heard any of her other music up to this point? Called 1989.
Okay.
Here's how she announced her new album. Who talks like this? Does she have no one around her to say, you need to stop sounding like a douchebag? Here's what she said when she announced it. I woke up. Not wanting, but needing to make a new style of music. Are you effing kidding me? The sense of self-importance is crushing that comes out of that tiny little mouth. So she's got her new album, 1989,
yeah.
The year she was born.
Okay.
And she also says, the late 90s was a time of infinite possibilities. Well, sure, we all look back at the late 90s as the Renaissance here in America.
What was she, nine?
Late 80s, I think is what she meant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, late 80s, yeah. So she has this new song, Shake It Off, which is craptastic. But the best part is the spoken word section in the middle.
Awesome.
Yeah, you're going to enjoy this.
I can't wait.
Here's a little Shake It Off.
Hey, hey, hey. Just think, while you've been getting down and out about the liars and the dirty, dirty cheats of the world, you could have been getting down to this sick beat. My ex-man brought his new girlfriend. She's like, oh my God, I'm just gonna shake. And to the fella over there with the hella good hair, won't you come on over, baby, we can shake, shake, shake. Yeah!
Oh, you. The play is going to play.
Yeah.
And the hate is going to hate.
Yep.
Thank God she woke up with that need to make some fresh new music, because she is covering territory here that no one else has tackled with playas and haters.
Unbelievable.
And hella, yo.
Unbelievable.
She's a genius. She's the voice of a generation.
She truly is. Tate
finally,
Swindler.
You guys are coming around on what I've been seeing for years.
You know that's crap, though, right, Bean? You have to listen and say, okay, yeah, that is just pablum. That's crap.
Look, here's my whole thing. It is a distillation of everything else that's already on the radio, and that's my disappointment with it, because I think Taylor is capable of doing something different from that. And I don't think we needed another pop star. I liked what she was doing a little bit better before when she was kind of coming from her own experience.
I hated her then, and I hate her now.
But this is crap.
Sure sounds like a number one record, though, doesn't it?
I hope not.
Really?
Are you insane?
You guys don't think it'll be a huge hit?
God, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I
hope not. But
I hope.
I mean, I actually like some of her music. I don't like that at all.
I would guess Bean would have a better idea of the charts.
And that whole cheerleader chunk that she stole in the middle from first of all, Gwen Stefani, of course.
Sure.
And then Avril Lavigne did it after that, right? And Tony Basil did it in the 1980s.
Like I said, this seems like every pop song ever rolled into one, is what it seems
but
like.
But she needed to make new music, Bean. No, she didn't want to.
Mm-mm.
She needed to create this new music.
She's the devil.
She is just, she's so full of herself, and yet at the same time full of fake sort of modesty and stuff. In this video, she like stumbles around. Everyone's dancing behind her, but she can't dance really well, so she falls down.
Wait,
and everything.
She's not dancing on purpose?
She's a goofy, nerdy character.
Because I think I think this is kind of an answer to her critics about... I'm having my interpretation. You can have your own. But I think this is an answer to her critics about those who make fun of her dancing and those who make fun of her dating and those who make fun of things that she says and does. And I think she kind of put all those together in the lyrics for this song.
Yeah, man. Hate is going to hate.
She's kind of poking fun of her,
she's
herself.
Shake
she's,
it off.
She's in on the joke this time for the things that people make fun of her about.
Nope.
She's a horrible human being. She's a succubus.
She woke up not wanting, but needing. To make a new style.
Hey! Just think, while you've been getting down and out about the liars and the dirty, dirty cheats of the world, you could have been getting down to this sick beat.
Sick beat!
My ex-man brought his new girlfriend. She's like, oh my god, but I'm just gonna shake. And to the fella over there with the hella good hair, won't you come on over, baby, we can shake.
Got hella good hair, yo!
Holla back, girl.
That's our point.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Former President Bill Clinton is 68 years old today. Actor Gerald McRaney. We will have some Simon and Simon up in this joint before it's all over.
Did it make music? Oh, you mean the theme?
The theme song to the classic television show Simon and Simon.
Never saw it. Is it a good theme song?
It's a great theme song. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the thing they did? Adam Scott? He does those greatest TV moments in the greatest moment in TV history,
right,
or whatever,
yep.
Where he recreates shot for shot famous TV show openings.
Right.
I think maybe one of the first ones he did was Simon and Simon. He did it with John Hamm. He and John Hamm played Simon and Simon. It's a great
film. I have a clip if you want to hear this.
Stop it. Don't have a clip.
All right.
It's not a clip.
All right.
The minute I knew Beer Mug pointing at something, I knew it was not going to be anything good that should be played.
Beer Mug is not sneaky.
No. Peter Gallagher's 59. Adam Arkin is 58. John Stamos is 51. Kira Sedgwick turns 49 years old today, as does actor Kevin Dillon. Matthew Perry's 45. Jace Robertson of Duck Dynasty is also 45. And actress Erica Christensen celebrates her 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Five shows this weekend at the Ontario Improv, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Tickets available at improv.com. Talking about our friend Jay Moore, who joins us in
I'm going to get everybody pregnant in the Inland Empire. Get pregnant!
With Tracy Morgan's accident and recovery,
I'm feeling better.
Has it impacted your ability to use Tracy in the act?
No, it's not at all, because he's well. Okay. Obviously, if Tracy had, you know, something awful.
Was there a time where you said, all right, it's not going to do it for a while, Tilly?
You know what? People would always be like, how's Tracy? Like, they just, people, you know, that's
sure.
That's the thing when you're, like, nice on stage. People think it's like a damn request line. Like, hey, are you going to do walking soon? JJ, real quick, how's Tracy doing? I'm like, all right, I'm trying to do a monologue here.
They're trying to set you up for a bit that you might be doing, might not be doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on the mend. How about 9 months from now, there's going to be like 14 nurses with black babies.
Yep, that's right.
And telling their husbands, like, I don't know what happened. I gave him a sponge bath. Yeah, I'm powerful. Yeah.
Well, that was that looked like a terrible accident. I hope he's going to be fully recovered.
Why don't you have to wear seatbelts? You know, the driver's got to wear a seatbelt. Meanwhile, there's like 40 kids on a school bus, no seatbelts.
I know.
Yeah,
it's
ever.
Insane.
Just throw them in.
I don't
ridiculous.
Know what that's about.
Who
that's
asked weird. You?
Well, you asked the room.
I'm
no,
a traffic
I'm,
reporter.
I'm so surprised.
I talk about seatbelts.
I know. I'm so surprised.
Right.
I love Lisa May more than you guys do.
Well,
so.
Of course.
Yeah.
Everyone does.
Speaking of your friends in the news, the great Don Pardo passed away last night.
I cried.
96. Now, of course, Jay was on Saturday Night Live. I assume you worked
Ladies and gentlemen, Jay Moore. I cried this morning.
Did you?
It hit me hard. He was 96. I didn't cry because he died, because he was so old. But he was when I was so panic-stricken, you know, with panic, the actual diagnosis, and I was so depressed, and I was so drunk and awful and lost. For some reason, he just sat down next to me on that little bench right outside Studio 8H, and he would just, 8H, and he would put, like, his hand on my knee and go, how you doing, young man? And he was just, there was a nurse named Teresa that was nice to me, too.
And did you sense that he really
cared?
He did care. Wow. And he was lost, I found out, because his wife had died a year before I got there. And he just had no idea why he was even on Earth without his bride.
Wow.
Oh. And so he just was going through the motions. And Saturday Night Live was like the one place where like everything went away for that hour and a half.
Wow.
But I'll tell you a great Don Pardo story.
Yep.
We're sitting on the bench. It was one of those shows, all of them, where I didn't have any sketches.
Read and the book, said, folks. It's great.
I said, Don, Ontario Improv, come Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I said, Don, who's your favorite musical act ever since 1977? He goes, are you kidding me, man? BJ. And I go, Billy Joel? He goes, Bon Jovi! That mother effer can sing! And he just stood up and walked away, and I'm like, Don Pardo. And then the next week, Bon Jovi was in. It was always. And you're like, you know what? The kid does have some pipes with his frosted tips moving the Buffalo Bills to Ottawa.
You did not expect an answer that quickly, I'm sure.
I'd be like, Tony Bennett was here when I was a kid.
Right. He worked for NBC since 1944, Jay.
Yeah, and he was the first guy to say that President Kennedy was shot. He was the first guy to cut in.
No kidding.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president has been shot. Fred Garvin, male prostitute.
Did you get the impression when he was in his 90s and on SNL that he had any idea who any of the guest hosts were or the musical acts or even the people who – the cast members on the show?
Yeah. He was completely with it, had all his faculty.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sharp the whole time. Okay.
Absolutely. Wow. He was the best. And when Don Pardo says your name, goosebumps, man. Like you struggle. You get on a show. Nothing's going on. You don't have any sketches on, but you're still in that opening credit montage of photographs.
Right.
Jay Moore! And you're like,
that was
wow.
The highlight of your whole week, was that 1 second of him saying your name on TV.
Thank you. Up until then, it was the highlight of my whole career. Like it's like Bob Shepard saying your name at Yankee Stadium. Now batting number 11, Kevin and Dean, number 11.
Wait, we play together?
Yeah, well, I don't know your last name. No. I do, but I don't want to say it. Kevin Ryder.
How's the radio show, Jay?
Going good, but forget that. More Stories podcast, what you want to get. You want to get that app because it's free. And I finally got my wife to go on the podcast, and she tells the story about getting dumped by Bobcat Goldthwait, and the poop suit story is one of the all-time greatest stories you will
poop
ever.
Poop suit?
Her and Bob on Halloween were at a costume shop, for Halloween, one of those cheap ones, like Sexy Pirate and all that.
Right.
And she found a poop suit. And she goes, hold on, wait there. And this is, she does it better on the podcast. And so, like, she turns the corner, and she's dressed, like, as a turd. And they go home that night, and she's, like, doing funny little dances, like little turd dances. Like, look, I'm an actual piece of you-know-what.
Right.
And the next morning, she was making his breakfast, and it's, like, tofu bacon and stuff, because he was a vegan. And he had the newspaper under his arm, and he goes, I'm going to go. She goes, what are you doing? He goes, I'm going to go look for apartments. And she goes, why? He goes, I'm just going. And he walked out on her.
That?
And then she fell to the ground and cried. Because he went on the road and said, like, she broke up with him and for me. But I didn't meet her till 6 weeks after. So he just rewrote history because he's self-sabotaged, I suppose. And he's a great director and he's a great comic. And I have nothing but as E.E. Cummings once wrote, "If darling, if I ever meet the man that broke your heart, I shall shake his hand." So then her dad came to get her, and she was getting everything she owned into like a duffel bag, and there's like a poop suit sitting there.
Did you take it?
And
she
left it, and she realized like, wow, 12 hours ago I was dressed as an actual turd, and here I am laying on the floor in a heap of tears.
Is that the latest one?
Nikki Cox in the poop suit.
Is that the latest one? The latest
it's up now.
Podcast?
I recorded it in my car on my phone driving back from Denver. I cornered her because she would never do it because, you know, the internet, if you Google search her name, it's like she ruined her face with plastic surgery and... You know, she's
a lot of negative stuff everywhere.
She took fat from her butt and put it in her cheeks and her lips, and it's like
and she married below herself
with me, certainly.
That's what
absolutely.
I said, yeah.
And she puts it all to bed in this episode of More Stories.
The audio,
is spotty, but the stories are. She talks about. I asked her if you get a tattoo that only lasted 48 hours, what would you get? And she said she would get the golden arches where her pubic hair is. And then it would say billions and billions served. And I said, well, how far off is that number? She goes, about a billion. I was like, well, wait a minute. Or the other one she would get on her thigh with an arrow pointing in, if you lived here, you'd be home by now.
Sweet. Very nice. She's a perfect match for you, Jay. The podcast is available at jaymoore.com or fakemustache.com. Do I have that
no,
right?
No, just go. Yeah, if you have a phone, wherever you get like Angry Birds or Candy Crush, just go to your app store and go type in MOHR, More Stories, and you get the free app.
And Jay's going to be on stage at the Ontario Improv 5 shows this weekend. That's how you got it, Kevin?
That's how I got it. I have the app, and then I can just listen to it in my car when I'm driving.
It's the best. You don't even mind traffic. Because I have other apps of other podcasts, and you don't care about traffic when you're listening to a good podcast.
Yeah.
You're like, I hope this traffic lasts. This is a great story.
Improv.com, $30. Go see the great Jay Moore on stage this weekend. Quick break. We'll be right back with our guest after
Get
this.
Get pregnant.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
And we're on still.
Oh, we're on now.
That
was alternative lifestyle droopy dog. Have I ever done him for you guys?
Oh, boy. You know, my favorite team are the Rams ever since they got Michael Sam. Oh,
thank you, Jay.
I hope Michael Sam, everyone's talking about, is he going to make the team? It's like, listen, not only do I hope Michael Sam, the first openly gay NFL football player, makes the team, I hope he invents the gayest sack dance ever. I want confetti roller skates. I want Donna Summer playing in the background. I want it to be like Rip Taylor. Yeah. Just what? Straight up. The guy's a great football player. He was SEC co-defensive player of the year. That's not a seventh-round pick. The last I'll lose half the listeners right now, but I'll make it succinct.
All right.
The last eight SEC, Southeast Conference and college football, defensive players of the year were first-round draft picks.
And he didn't go till seventh.
Yeah. I'm sure it's because of his talent. No, it's because he likes dudes and everybody's a homophobe. Not the Kevin and Bean audience that comes to Ontario Improv to watch me do stand-up comedy Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Live podcast. Saturday, we added a show. It's going to be me, Daryl Wright, and Dean Del Rey. So if you buy a ticket, you get free admission to the live More Stories recording.
That's a different thing than the show you're doing Saturday?
Yeah, I got two shows Friday, stand-up. Each show is about an hour and 15 minutes.
Okay.
Saturday, two shows, hour and 15 minutes each. And then late Saturday, like probably around midnight, we're just going to pile in and do a live podcast. And then Sunday, you guys know the trick.
Sure.
There's always one night where the comedian makes more money than the other nights. If you want to help me out, you come Sunday.
Go Sunday.
That's my money night. That's when I get the door and they get the bar and I can really make it rain dollars. And I can throw singles at Michael Sam after he sacks me.
Oh, boy.
When you walked
maybe
in
if I
morning,
fold it in half.
Wait, what?
When you walked in this morning, Jay Moore, Lisa May said, "You're so thin. What's going on?"
Cigarettes and push-ups, 12 pounds. You know what happened? I went to Hawaii in October.
Okay.
And it was the first time I'd been to Hawaii without being high the entire time. Like, wake up, smoke an enormous bowl again and again, then go to the pool and with my wife and flop around like a manatee.
And
just
order
bug
food.
Out and go, "Hey, ever notice when you rub your eyes, you can't stop? I'm standing in the shallow end of the pool rubbing my eyes for a half hour." Then you go back to the hotel, you make We're on Grass Love in Hawaii. Then you take a nap, you wake up, you smoke pot. It was an all-day affair. And I quit smoking pot about 3.5 years ago, not because I had a problem, but the people I was helping getting sober, I had always been in AA, but I was doing that on my weekends.
Okay.
And I realized I'm full of baloney because I keep telling these kids that are coming to me for help, like, no, you can't even smoke pot. And I said, you know what? I don't want anybody to ever go, "You do it." So I stopped, and it was the first time I went to Hawaii without getting high, so I went to the ABC store and I bought a pack of Newports instead. And I had this giant book. I had Cormac McCarthy, Blood Meridian. It's like 1,000 pages. It's a tome. And I just sat there on my balcony in the sun smoking and reading. I'm like, this is decadent. This is great. And then I walk in, and Lisa May goes, "You look thin." I'm like, "Thank you very much, Newport Company." Where's my corporate sponsorship?
You kept smoking when you got back to the mainland?
Well, it's hard to quit. I don't know if you've heard.
Yeah. It's really? Good. First of all, it's a good thing to pick up.
Yeah, I would have been way better
it's
off.
A good choice as an adult.
Had I just smoked grass and kept it on the down low for my sponsees, it would have been way better. But you know what? I want to be honest, and that's the whole corner you turn in life when you stop lying and just you're completely honest with everybody.
So at some point, are you going to try to quit cigarettes as well, or do you have to have
something? You know what happened is I had my blood drawn. I had the life insurance policy. By the way, I'm worth way more dead than I am alive.
Oh,
because I'm on that radio money.
Yeah.
And they, the blood test came back, and they go, "We're going to do it again because there's cigarettes. You smoke cigarettes." I'm like, "No, I don't." They're like, "No, it's in your blood." And I was like, "What? There must be a mistake." And they're like, "You're making a fool of yourself. Like, there's no way around.
There's no question here. It's science."
So I, so we're going to do it again next year. I go, "Just how long do I have to? How? What's the lead? It's basically it's like 4 months. You have to quit to get it. Like, so there's absolutely no cigarette stuff. So I'm like, "Just tell me, and then that's when I'll quit." And then that's when I'll come back in at 240 pounds.
Exactly.
I'll look like Riddick Bowe. "How about I eat your cornbread?" "Huh? What? Yeah, that guy sounds like he's sweating." "Jay Moores, you got big as hell." I like Ontario. I like when you see white guys dressed as vatos with red hair. It's nice when you see guys in Affliction t-shirts and flip-flops coming up. Guys with red hair named Rusty with lowered pickup trucks.
Those are your people, Jay.
Those are my... Apparently not. They say it's an urban room, and that's why white guys... This lets you in showbiz. A lot of white comics do not play the Ontario.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Look at the calendar at improv.com. It's all black and Latino acts. They say it's like an urban room, and I say... forget that. Let's do it. For crying out loud, all the white people, let's rally together and let's box out these Latinos. You know what? You know what? Somebody will isolate that and get me fired. You have to be so careful. What are you kidding me?
Well, that wasn't on the air.
You got to be so. Oh, we're not on the air right now?
No, we are.
What's with the blacks, right? Wait, we're on the air or we're not on the air?
We are on the air, actually.
Latinos make a lot of babies. Wait, what? are we on the air?
We're on the air. This is on.
Oh.
Yes.
What about the thing with the blacks?
That was on.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Jay,
what about the grape soda stuff? That was
that
off
was
the air.
Way
we
off.
Don't talk
oh,
about
okay.
the grape soda, yeah.
All right. I think what's needed
that
is.
That got us suspended.
I think you need to fly to Ferguson and just settle the whole issue. I think that's what needs to happen.
I think you need Big Mama God at all in Ferguson. Why are y'all fighting? Huh? What's wrong? You'd be the police chief. You guys don't know Big Mama God at all?
No.
I didn't see Big Mama.
Adam Carolla made me inventor on his podcast. He wanted a mom.
Really?
He wanted a mom that would defend him blindly. And I said, you need like a Big Mama God at all. And my mother-in-law, that was her wrestling name when she wrestled my brother-in-law when he was like a little boy. He wanted to wrestle. She goes, all right, Big Mama got it all. Here she comes. So you be the police chief and tell me what the problem is, Kevin.
The problem is that we're having a lot of rioting. And people
Why? What's wrong? Why is everybody rioting? What's his name? Bean?
That's Bean, yeah.
Huh?
That Bean.
Bean. Oh, that's nice. Hi, Bean.
Big Mama.
Everybody go in your house and stop arguing. Would you hand me my prescription, please? My asthma. Did you see my daughter asthma?
The protesters are not just
speak up
peacefully. They're throwing rocks at
yeah,
the police.
Yeah, good for them.
And looting the McDonald's.
Oh, that won't fly, baby. You can't throw a rock at a policeman.
Yeah, it seems to be happening.
Throw him a hug. That's what you got to do.
Throw a hug.
Yeah, throw hugs. Not rock. Put the rock down and throw a hug. I got four sons, the old name champion. And then there's Anthony.
Sorry about that.
Corporate, huh?
Will Big, can you say that word on your radio show?
No.
Well, you say what
because
you
you're FM. I'm AM. You're FM. Yeah.
Right, same rules. Same rules.
Say what now? Oh, okay.
Will Big Mama be appearing in Ontario this weekend?
You know, sometimes I make an appearance at Jay Moore's Comedy Show at Ontario Improv.
Uh-huh.
I got to see
wait.
Huh? Say what now?
I said it sounds great.
Oh, okay.
It sounds great.
Oh,
sounds like
grape.
A lot of fun.
I like grape.
No.
What?
So two shows Friday.
Yeah.
Two shows Saturday, plus
the
podcast.
Forget the podcast. Come buy comedy tickets. The rest will take care of itself, baby. And throw hugs.
Throw hugs on Sunday especially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any Vicodin or Percocet?
I think I'm
rub it on my knuckles. They get all itchy.
I'm in love with Big Mama.
You
don't
should
forget,
be.
By the way,
she's
if you're
a
going
stalk.
Up
what?
To, if you're
huh?
going up to, I just before you go, Mr.
That
Jay
man
Moore,
sounds like he's sweating.
I just wanted to say, Jay, you're also going to be appearing at the LOL Comedy Festival in a couple of weeks.
Filming my special, Big Showtime special.
You're doing your special, and then little Brad Williams is doing his special, same theater right after yours.
Yeah, and Dice is doing one. It's like a huge, great festival, and my wife wrote like 40 minutes of my hour, so it's awesome.
When is your wife just going to go up on stage? She seems
Never,
to be doing
ever.
All the work.
She does half the work, certainly.
All right.
You know what it is? It's she writes. She
you say
has,
you wake up and she's got a list of stuff that she thought about overnight.
Yeah, like you've seen me do the stuff about like Dateline ID and those murder shows. That's all hers. And the whole bit about similar hates. Like couples have to have similar hates. That's,
right,
all, that's all hers. And then anything I tag, it's because I was in that neighborhood in the first place because of her. And
well,
she puts
I'm just
out.
Saying, I'm just saying.
Love to your wife on the regular.
On the regular? 40 minutes of your 1 hour does not seem like half the work, by the way. It seems like more than half. I'm just saying.
You know, you're right. I was never so good at mathematics. You're right.
All right, Jay. Okay.
Hey, seriously, anybody want to come? All my shows in Ontario, all my shows always, you guys know this, are meet and greets. I look forward looking at you, shaking your hand, saying hi. Because, look, let's be honest. If you don't come, I don't get paid. And I love you guys. But come Sunday.
Improv.com.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you. Actor Michael Chiklis joins us in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock. He is in a new film opening this weekend called When the Game Stands Tall that looks fun. And he's one of the cast members for the new American Horror Story, which debuts in October, too. So we'll try to get some information. I know they're very tight-lipped on what's going on that show, but we'll talk to him about that all coming up here on K-Rock.
First, though, it's time for a feature that we call...
And now, a look into the creepiest stories in the news, where we ask, was it Bean...
How dare you? Can I just, as a blanket policy, tell you it wasn't me? If I'd been arrested for anything...
No, because, really...
It could be me!
That's correct.
If I'd been arrested for something, you guys would have heard about it.
And when we hear creepy stories, we think, was it Bean? Was it?
All right, let's hear what you got.
A man is arrested for keeping jars full of dead men's penises in his home. Bean?
Say, Bean, was that you?
No, it was not me.
Jars full of human penises? That was not you.
First of all, I only collect vaginas. But second of all, what's this dude? What's going on with this guy?
Oh, it's a Croatian man, but they don't give a name. His nickname is the Penis Collector. He apparently used his position at a hospital as a nurse every time a guy would die. Penis would come off, would go in his jar.
God.
So there's no name. Bean, have you been to Croatia in a while?
No.
Okay.
No, this one was not
Bean. This was not Bean.
All right. It wasn't Bean.
All right.
But maybe this one was Bean. A man admits to having sex with 100 corpses. Was it Bean?
Maybe.
I applaud his dedication, but no, this was not me.
I would just get on top and pull my... Hands down.
That's how it works.
That's the quote. Oh, here it is. It's Kenneth Douglas.
No, it wasn't Bean.
He admitted to having sex with corpses. Apparently, he had worked at a morgue for like 25 years. And,
Wow, he really rung up the numbers.
He really did ring up the numbers. And by the way, that one got tweeted to me with the hashtag, was it Bean?
How dare that listener.
So apparently that was not Bean.
Okay.
A Washington State security guard tackled a man Sunday who was reportedly caught pooping on a public walkway. Was it Bean?
Despite the proximity in this story,
yes,
I am an indoor
live
toilet.
There, you could poop on the street.
Indoor toilets only for me. This was not me.
A Washington State Convention Center security guard is the guy that tackled him. There's no name given.
Ooh.
Apparently, there was three different times this guard saw the guy sitting down and doing his business right out in front of everybody. So the security guard sat on top of him and kind of choked him out and held him until police got there. And then they were able to ask him what's going on. But again, no name given.
Yeah.
It's in Washington.
Not me.
When the guard confronted the man, the pooper grew angry. Was it Bean?
Still not me. Still no. So you're saying no?
I'm saying none of these are me.
All right.
But did you poop on a sidewalk?
Just once. Okay.
Was it Bean? Yes!
Yes! We have a yes!
Talk about it. 106. Don't talk about it.
Come on.
My bad.
What's wrong with
I'm
you?
Sorry.
What kind of a hurry are you in today? And every day.
It's a new song for the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Milky Chance and Stolen Dance. And I didn't realize that perhaps.
Hold on. Time out. It's who with what now?
Milky Chance.
Milky Chance?
Yes.
Is a name?
Of a band.
Milky Chance.
Yes.
With the song?
Stolen Dance.
Stolen Dance.
Right.
I see London, I see France.
Yes.
They're just not trying.
No, they're not. Everything has to rhyme with those people.
I guess so. Hey, I mentioned Michael Chiklis coming up right after the top of the hour, and then we want to talk to you, the Kevin DeBean listeners, who have invented and put apps up for sale or giveaway in the iTunes store, because apparently that's the rocket ride to millionairedom right there, is getting yourself an app. That's all coming up. First, though, Rob's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday.
Speaking of apps, I was just reading a story. Funny you should mention that app thing. I was just reading a story this morning about a woman named Sharon Standiford, and she created a new app that's going to make children miserable. She always got ticked off because her son would not call her back or answer her phone calls when she called his cell phone.
Right.
It would infuriate her. She would call and say, I need you to check in with me. Get back to me right now. I'm leaving you a message. Get back to me. Hours would go by. No check-in from the son.
Mm.
So what she has created is an app called Ignore No More. You buy the app. You install it on your phone and your kid's phone. And if they are not getting back to you in a timely fashion, you simply press a button, enter a code, and your child will not be able to call anyone else except you.
That's brilliant.
On their phone. 911 and home. And then you sit back and wait, and you'd be surprised how quickly they call you and say, okay, I'm just checking in. I'm here at Bob's house. Okay, can I have my phone back, please?
Yeah, their heads will explode.
Then you put the code back in, and then they're free to use their phone as they want. But it gets their attention, apparently, according to Sharon.
I imagine it does.
I imagine it does, too. So she invented that.
Out of pure frustration.
Out of pure frustration for her kids ignoring her.
Blame her lousy kid.
That's right.
Yeah.
Stupid kid.
And by the way, it's a huge hit, too, by the way.
I'm
People
sure.
are rushing to download it.
I can imagine they would, because parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
They just don't understand.
Hey, that guy did that song.
See, because... Thank you.
Tonight, by the way, just want to give you a heads up.
Yeah.
Is episode 2 of Fourth and Loud. Have you seen episode 1 of Fourth and Loud?
I have not.
I didn't watch it.
Oh.
This is about the KISS Arena football team, right?
This is the LA KISS. This is Paul and Gene taking on the AFL with the LA KISS.
I have so little interest in that project.
I know what you're thinking.
But the show's good?
I know what you're thinking, but you should watch this.
All right.
You should watch this. Because the level of douchebaggery... Gene Simmons alone,
yeah,
is he has a mythical amount of douchebaggery, but then you put Paul in the mix, and last week's episode they met with all the other owners of the NFL and they just strut in like they are God's gift to football.
You knew that's what they were thinking too.
Oh, and they said it out loud. You didn't have to worry about what they were thinking. You're like, yes, we're here, and we're great, and you guys need us, and you're welcome, and we're here, and we're going to save arena football. And the other guys look at each other like, we've been doing this for 20 years, and these guys come in and tell us how to do our jobs. It's pretty spectacular. Yeah.
What channel?
That is AMC.
AMC.
AMC. And it's kind of funny because they say, you know, we need excellence immediately, and a championship is the only possibility this year for the LA KISS in their first season.
Right.
Now, this is last season. We already know what what their final record was for the first. It was like 3-12 or something, 3-15. It's just kind of funny in retrospect to watch the climate of success that they're breeding over there at the LA KISS.
Sweet.
Anyway, just want to give you a heads up. You may want to check that out. And I don't really have time here.
For
I was going to beat up on Taylor Swift some more.
Let's beat up.
We may have to wait.
We got a little time.
You got a little time?
Yeah, we have time.
Taylor Swift yesterday announced her brand new album, 1989. It's called. It was the year of her birth, and she announced the new album with the following quote, and I can't believe that no one stopped her from saying this. I woke up not wanting, but needing to make a new style of music, said Taylor Swift. And that new style of music for her is pop, to which I say, what was she doing before? What was that before? But now she said this is pure pop, her official pop album. It'll be out on October the 27th. She debuted her new song called Shake It Off, which deals with all her haters.
Sure.
Because players are going to play and haters are going to hate. That's what she says in the lyrics. It's all very fresh, very original, very now, very happening. Here's a little taste of Shake It Off.
Hey, just think while you've been getting down and out about the liars and the the dirty, dirty cheats of the world. You could have been getting down to this sick beat. My ex-man brought his new girlfriend. She's like, oh my God, but I'm just gonna shake. And to the fella over there with the hella good hair, won't you come on over, baby, we can shake, shake, shake.
You want more?
Come on!
Yeah!
Shake it off, man. Shake it off when those haters gonna hate, hate, hate.
Now, are you dancing because you're actually starting to enjoy the song, Ralph Garman, or is that ironic dancing?
That was ironic dancing.
Okay.
I've heard better songs from the Fresh Beat Band watching on Nickelodeon with my 4-year-old daughter. I've heard more depth of lyric.
Yeah.
She's repugnant.
Here's the thing about haters that everybody loves to say that haters are gonna hate, which is also true. But it doesn't mean you don't deserve it.
Right. Doesn't mean you don't suck.
Right.
And here, the sense of pomposity this little girl possesses with saying a statement like, I woke up not wanting, but needing to make a new style of music. Shut up! Who talks like that? Even if that's what you're thinking, isn't there some mechanism in your brain that says, well, if I say that, I'm going to sound like a giant asshole.
Right, I don't want to sound like
even though
ass.
I believe it, I think that I'm going to do this the wise thing, and I'm going to say, I hope this works. I'm just going to give a different kind of music a shot. I hope everyone enjoys it as much as I like to put it together. Just try. Downplay your enormous ego for a second so that we can all stop hating you for just a breath. Because it's exhausting hating you, Taylor. Trust me. I don't want to. But you force my hand.
She does. She demands it.
At every turn. So there's your new Tate-Op-Switler music right there.
So I'm putting you down for a yes on pre-ordering the album?
Is Hella a thing? Is that still a thing, by the way?
No, I don't think
it's
so.
It's not a thing.
You got hella good hair? Does anyone?
I don't think that's been a thing for a long time.
All right, just checking.
Yeah.
I got to put that down on my things, not things list.
Hella is a not thing.
All right. I'm going to take that on my song then. I'm going to hear my first pure pop album.
That you need to make?
That I need to make. I don't want to. I need to. Today's celebrity birthdays: Bill Clinton, 68. Gerald McRaney is 67. Peter Gallagher turns 59. Adam Arkin, very talented actor, is 58. John Stamos. Oh, Stamos.
He's got to be, what, about 25, just looking at him?
He's 51, and he's just better looking now than he was on Full House, and he's got that hella good hair.
Nope.
Nope. And he eats all that Greek yogurt.
Yeah.
And he's got all those women
and
eating his Greek yogurt.
Yes.
They share a cup of Greek yogurt. What's wrong with you, Kevin, making that face?
What are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Kira Sedgwick is 49. Kevin Dillon's also 49. Matthew Perry turns 45. Jace Robertson of the Duck Dynasty clan is 45. And Erica Christensen celebrates her 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Don't let a game define who you are. Let the way you live your lives do that.
It's just a high school football game. I got caught up in everything and let it nearly kill me.
Oops, I'm alone.
Family isn't just blood relatives. You've got me and 60 brothers.
1, 2, 3, 4!
We got lost, caught up in the hype, the glory, and the relentless pressure. That's not who we are. We need to stand back up and find our way again.
Only way I'm going out of this game is on a stretcher.
Yeah, come on. What's better than a well-done sports movie, man?
Nothing.
Nothing is better. Michael Chiklis is on the phone. He stars in When the Game Stands Tall, opening in theaters everywhere this Friday. Hey, Michael, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you? I'm fantastic. Thank you.
It's always great to have you on. We got chills when we saw this trailer. I know it's only high school football, but it's really, you know, as we learn every time one of these movies comes out, it's bigger than that.
That's right. Like you said, you know, what's better than a well-made sports film? And this is. I mean, it's one of those movies that gets you fired up. You just want to, you know, go and play in a sport. You know, you just want to go and play something as soon as you're done. You know, you watch it, you get fired up, and you want to go play a football game or a basketball game or something with a team.
Now you play one of the coaches of a football team. Give us the background on that team and that unbelievable streak.
Well, it's based on the true story of the De La Salle football team, very famous Northern California team up in Concord, California. And, I mean, they're a very, very famous team, you know, certainly in sports lore everywhere because, no one's ever won 151 games
in a row with no loss.
Yeah, that's 13 years of winning. I mean, it's insane. Because once you get into a streak of 20 games, 25 games, everybody in the area starts to, you know, paint a target on the back of your head.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
So it just, for it to mount over the course of 13 years is crazy. But what I love about the movie is that it doesn't just chronicle the streak. It starts, actually, right towards the end of the streak. And what's extraordinary about the story is when this team and this program and these coaches face real adversity from not only the loss of the streak, but the loss of one of the boys, through a killing. And I don't want to put too many spoilers in here, but I mean, it just is a really compelling story, and the fact that it's true just makes it even more incredible. And the way that this team was able to come together. And here's the thing, I played a lot of sports as a kid, and I loved it. And I think one of the biggest reasons, one of my takeaways, is that, you know, your coaches are more than that to you. What they end up being is teachers and mentors to you. And you end up going through the rest of your life and thinking about all the things that they taught you.
And sometimes a parent, even, if you're not well-parented, sometimes the coach steps in and is that person.
That's right. They put people, some kids that are, on the wrong track or not being parented, they put them back on the right track. And there's this camaraderie that they learn. And there were so many value lessons, how to get along with people. And I have to tell you, I've learned it. I mean, I've used those things over and over again as an actor, because when you're working on a television show or a film, there's 150 people that you have to deal with. You have to be a team player. It really, truly is like a team sport. So there's things that I've just carried along with me through those experiences. And it's one of these movies that just touches the finer aspects of the human condition, the things that make your heart swell, the things that make you go, "Ah, man, that's awesome!" You know,
right?
When you watch movies like Rudy or Hoosiers, it's inspirational in a way that just gets you emotional, and
sure.
This is that kind of a picture.
Michael, what is it, and we'll see this when we go see the film, talking to Michael Chiklis about the new movie called When the Game Stands Tall in theaters everywhere this Friday. What does it do to the coaches and the players when that streak is finally broken? I mean, none of them have ever even known what it's like to lose a game. Do they way overreact because they're just so devastated they don't take it in stride like a normal team that loses a few every year would?
Well, remember, every single game, it became about, not about a football game or anything else, but keep the streak alive. And the pressure, particularly for this team that lost the streak, that was not as big, not as strong, not as talented, frankly, a team as their predecessors,
right,
was just tremendous. And when they lost it, no one could look them in the eye, and it was just terrible for them, because remember, they're 17-year-old, 16-year-old boys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it really made some of them really, really go into a deep depression, and, they had to fight their way out of it. And it's really kudos to this coaching staff, the way they were able to, make them band together and fight this adversity and come out of it. It was, you got to see it. It's really kind of amazing.
Oh, we will. We will. By the way, the NFL, they'll go most of the season without a loss, and then they'll go, what would be best for that team is if they lose once, and then that monkey is off their back. They don't have to worry about it.
That's the thing. In a way, it was a huge blessing that it finally just got busted, but it had taken so long.
Sure.
That it really built up to a place that it really never should have. And by the way, this high school football team, I think, has produced more professional football players than any, by far, than any other program.
That is something else.
Yeah,
crazy. You talked about the great coaching staff, and of course, you play Coach Eidson on the in the movie. He had that questionable facial hair in real life, Michael, that we've seen you wearing in the trailer.
Yes, he did. Coach Eidson still wears a beard, although he didn't go with the goatee. I went I trimmed it to a goat, and that's mainly because my full beard kind of sucks. But what are you gonna do?
Does the goatee have any lines?
Just like, why am I wearing this? It's too hot. We shot this in New Orleans.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. Yeah. Speaking of New Orleans, before we have to jump off the phone here, I know that you are sworn to secrecy. That's how Ryan Murphy works. But you're going to be in October on the new season of American Horror Story, which has to be one of the craziest acting jobs you've ever had. Can you tell us a thing about it, Michael?
Well, I can tell you a couple of things. First of all, I come to work. My first scene is with Jessica Lange and Angela Bassett.
Wow!
So I walked on set and I'm like, okay, EGOTs, you know, like Emmy, Golden Globe, Oscar,
right.
Tony,
right.
You know, okay,
that's crazy.
Just insane talent on set.
It's called Freak Show.
It's called Freak Show. It takes place in a freak show. I can say that. I can also say it's been already written that I'm a strong man in the freak show.
Okay.
All right.
And, you know, by the way, I've had to train like a nut with that and work on my nutrition, too, with my new company, Supure.
Who knew?
it's a great thing, actually. Go to supure.com. You'll find out all about it. Anyway, it's just been, you know, an incredible ride so far. It's intense, and it's going to freak people out. That was a bad pun.
No pun intended, right. Season 4 premieres on October 8th on FX, American Horror Story Freak Show. You're right. Jessica Lange, Kathy Bates, Sarah Paulson, Angela Bassett, Francis Conroy, Wes Bentley, Michael Chiklis.
I mean,
unbelievable cast.
Yeah, listen to that cast. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Not to mention, if you've seen any other seasons, you know how awesome this show can be. So,
I mean, this one, I think, is going to be sort of a middle ground between Asylum and last year's show. Well, last year's show was very kitschy and had a lot of humor in it, and Asylum was really dark and insane. And this one, there's real darkness, and there's some scary stuff, but there's also some pretty funny stuff as well. So I think it's going to toe the line between those two kind of tones, and Ryan's brilliant. So
he sure is. Well, we can't wait. That's not till October, but your film When the Game Stands Tall opens up everywhere on Friday, so we'll go see that as well. Michael, always great to catch up with you, man. Glad you had some time for us on the Kevin Bean Show.
Appreciate it. Cheers.
Thank you. We'll catch up with our friend Doto, the international man of mystery, on this morning's show. Plus, we've still got tickets you can win for the Galaxy versus Chivas USA, which is coming up soon, so stick around for that. You know, we were having a conversation the other day, Kevin, about apps. Apps are the way to go if you really want to make the big, big money these days.
It seems like you see everywhere stories of this dude made an app and then now he's a billionaire. And you go,
well, look at Kim Kardashian. They say she might make $85 million this year off that Kardashian Hollywood game, for instance.
Oh,
now, granted, she already had, a built-in fan base. I mean, she was in a perfect position to launch an app. But you're absolutely right, Kevin. It seems like people we've never heard of are making huge, huge money. And then there are people like Tom Hanks, who just created that typewriter app that he's given away for free. It's the number one free app on iTunes right now. But I bet there's even a way to make money off of those free apps because you can still put ads and stuff on them, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure how that works.
Well, we want to talk to you, the Kevin and Bean listener, who have created an app. If you've got an app that's out there and up there for people to download, we want to find out how it's going for you and find out what the business model is like. One guy that we just met in person last Friday when he stopped by at K-Rock is named Chris Vaughn. He is the CEO and co-founder of Saucy. And he was here, you'll recall, you guys, he brought some alcohol and some underwear models for us on Friday.
Yep, that happened.
Chris, why aren't you here today is my question.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I'm on the road this week. Otherwise, I'd love to join you in person.
Well, thanks again for coming by on Friday. We had a great time seeing you. How's the promotion going in Los Angeles where you can get the underwear models to deliver alcohol to your door?
As you can imagine, it was pretty wild. It was a wild Friday. I think people, you know, lost their minds when underwear models showed up out their front door.
Sure.
It was a ton of fun. You know, I think people just loved it.
Sure. Now, Saucy, that's with an E, by the way, S-A-U-C-E-Y, is the app that you have come up with that's available right now where you can get alcohol delivered at the push of a button. It comes to your house in about 20 to 40 minutes or so. Give us a little backstory on what it's like to come up with an app and put it up in the iTunes store, and how's it going for you, Chris?
Well, you know, I think that our background is actually in creating mobile applications. We're a small team based out of L.A., and, you know, we've been in this industry for a couple of years, and it's a lot of fun. You know, we recognize a huge amount of value in having a location-based device in your pocket and kind of the things that unlocks for you.
Right.
And, you know, since we launched Saucy, I mean, as you can imagine, when people discover there's a tool where they can press a button and have drinks show up at their house,
yeah,
but they like it and they use it a lot.
That may be the end of me, is all I'm saying. Now, Chris, what's involved in starting an app? Give me a man hours, money that you put into it, all of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, for starters, I think that your personal life can be thrown away for a few months. I mean, you guys really sit down, you go through the grind. You know, particularly for us being in almost like a service-based industry.
Right.
You know, right now we definitely all work 7 days a week. It's very time-consuming, but you really have to focus on the engineering component, design, product development, and also just figure out, you know, as you mentioned before, how do these apps make money, or how are you going to address a user base large enough that actually wants something? While Kim Kardashian may have, you know, millions and millions of fans, I think that we with drinking have millions and millions
sure.
of fans as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just figuring out all those different components, getting the right team together to sit down and execute on it.
How do you go about creating awareness for your app? Like, it seemed like we saw, I mean, the underwear model thing was a public relations stroke of genius, because every local news outlet certainly picked it up and talked about your app last week. That's how I found about it. But when you first started, when you first, you know, that first day that the app appeared in the iTunes store, how did you get anybody to even know it was there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, when we first launched, it was an invite only situation, and we started with a group of friends, and it kind of just continued growing out from there. I remember when we got our very first order from someone that we had no clue who they were.
Right.
It was extremely exciting. And then, you know, once we got such a great response from that, we opened it up to the public as a whole. We've done, you know, some really fun stuff to make sure people get, you know about it on Memorial Day weekend. If you ordered a certain amount of booze, we sent a bartender along with your order to your house. We just did the promotion with MeUndies. I think, you know, for us, it's just consistently delivering really, really good customer experiences to get your customers to like you and then tell your friends about you. And I think as long as you nail that over and over and over again, you really get just a user base of advocates.
If I get alcohol delivered from Saucy one the night before, can I have a nurse show up with an IV bag the next day? Is that part of your thing?
That's a great idea.
That is a good idea. We might try that.
All right. Okay.
Hey, Chris, was it encouraged? This is the voice of Chris Vaughn here on the Kevin Beach Show. We're talking about his app called Saucy, where you can get alcohol delivered at the push of a button. And we're taking your calls. If you have an app, we want to find out what it's been like for you at 1-800-520-1067. It must have been so encouraging for you, Chris, and your team to see the phenomenal success of Uber all around the world. That's an app that just, you know, it kind of answered a need that we didn't even know we had. And now most of us can't imagine living without it.
Yep. I think, you know, particularly when you look at a company like Uber, you know, I think that what we're seeing is as consumers as a whole are demanding things immediately these days, whether that maybe started even with iTunes. Like I can just get a song immediately to my phone, or
right.
I can, with Netflix, watch a movie, you know, at the push of a button. And then I think Uber's done it for transportation. There's many other companies out there. There's one called HomeJoy that's doing it. You can get someone to come clean your house on demand. There's a great company that we're friends with here locally called Washio, which is on-demand dry cleaning and laundry. And I think fundamentally consumer behavior has shifted or changed to be sort of an on-demand nature. And that's where you're seeing all these different companies pop up to address it in different industries. We're addressing it for the alcohol industry.
Smart. Last question for you, and that is, when you work with, obviously, iTunes is where you want to be to have your app available, because that's where most people get their apps from. But was it tough to work with Apple to get your app approved? And my follow-up to that is, do they also take a percentage of everything that you move through your app?
So Apple, you know, Apple is great to work with. You know, obviously, we've released numerous apps through them before. They're an incredible platform. They've really helped unlock an entire new segment of life for people that's been pretty unreal. Working with them is always a pleasure. I think, you know, getting the app approved was a straightforward process. It's something that, again, we've done multiple times, so we knew how to do it. We knew how to work with them to make sure that it went through smoothly. And you know, Apple usually takes their take on apps for in-app purchases is, you know, I think it's about 30% for, like, if you download a game and you're placing orders.
Right.
For us, because our transactions aren't with Apple, you know, it's people sign up, they have a credit card on file, very similar to Uber. It's just a different system where that doesn't go to Apple.
Gotcha. Wow, this has been very educational. Congratulations on the success of Saucy. It's a tremendous app. I know a lot of our listeners really responded well to it last week when we talked about it on the radio, and we appreciate your time today. Good luck to you, sir.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. All right, 1-800-520-1067. You came up with an app. We'll talk to you next. That's Joy, and the song is called Riptide on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 841. Here's my retirement plan, Bean, and tell me what you think.
Okay.
I'm going to come up with an app. And then I'm going to make $1 billion.
I don't see any problem with that.
Okay. All right.
It sounds to me like you've already done the hard work.
I don't know.
We're talking to Kevin and Bean listeners right now at 1-800-520-1067 who have looked at the iTunes App Store and said, that's a gold mine just waiting for me to get mine. We want to hear what app you've invented and how it's going. I want to start with Eddie. He's on line 3 calling us from Redondo Beach. Now, I only have a 3 or 4 word description of his app, but it sounds like there might be something there. Eddie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm talking about a Spoiler Shield. I actually just work with the founder. His name is Matt. He's on the line now. If you, Matt, are you there?
Yeah, good morning, guys. So Spoiler Shield is an app that blocks all the spoilers from your recorded television content or any content you can't watch live. It blocks all the spoilers from your social media so you don't have your viewing experience.
So you're saying, like, for example, you're saying I was out at a party during a Galaxy soccer game, so I recorded it. And now I have to actively avoid all media till I can get home and see it. This does it for you?
Exactly. We've got over 60 TV shows. We do all the major sports, award shows. We even have Celebrity Shield. So if you don't want to see a spoiler about, for example, maybe the upcoming premiere of Homeland, then what we can do, you set the shield, you load your Facebook and Twitter into the app, and simply our app will learn what's trending on social media and avoid any post that's related to the show. And it won't just block hashtags or obvious character names. It really factors in what language is being used across social media in real time.
Huh, that's
brilliant.
That, yeah. So especially like the Emmys and the MTV Video Music Awards are both coming up this weekend. Perfect example if you're not watching them and you don't want your entire feed, or if they're on in the East Coast and you're in the West Coast and you don't want your entire feed before the show even airs and you can see it to be filled up with the winners' names, go to Spoiler Shield.
Exactly. And we'll have all the most recent events as they come out. We'll release them into the app. We really make it very simple. We're on
That's brilliant.
iOS, Android, Google Chrome, Amazon. We're the only spoiler app that can actually go cross-platform. So if you set a shield for the Emmys on your phone, and when you get home, you log into your computer, as long as you're using Google Chrome, it'll be there protecting you, ready to go.
Okay. Wow. All right. That's a great idea. And now, if you don't mind me asking, are you guys making money off of it?
We actually are just now starting to monetize. We just came out of beta a little while ago. And we're really giving people a chance. We're not going to charge the users a dime. It's always going to be free for the users. The way we're going to make money is by working with the shows and the sports teams and letting them put their brands and their messaging in the shields.
Pretty cool.
I got you.
All right, Eddie and Matt, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it today. Let's go down to a different Matt on line 6. He's in Huntington Beach talking about listeners who have created apps. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hi.
My app... It's called InstaMelody.
InstaMelody.
InstaMelody. And you can record over melody. For an example, if you...
Hello? You're not bringing it to life, Matt.
Are you there?
Hello?
Did you just die? What's happening?
Sorry. Yeah, it's a melody message app. You can record messages over melody.
Okay. Now, is it melody that you create, or we can just pick a song, or...
Well, yeah, it just released in iTunes last Tuesday, and And yeah,
well, you've done a tremendous job of explaining how it works, and we appreciate the call so much, Matt.
Well, maybe he's more a computer guy.
Look, I have a clip from somebody that's using InstaMelody.
Oh, do you? I'd love to hear that.
I've created a monster because nobody wants to see Marsha no more. They want Shady. I'm Chopped Liver. Well, if you want Shady, this is what I'll give you: a little bit of weed mixed with some hard liquor.
She didn't even have to use the melody. She didn't need the background.
Impressive.
Let's go to Alex. He's on line one. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. All guys seem to be developing apps, by the way. At least. What's on hold here is all dudes. What's going on, Alex?
What's up, guys? Kevin and Bean. This May. How you guys doing?
Good.
So our app is called Choco Map, and we kind of developed it so when you get a box of chocolates, you don't know what's inside. So this app, it actually has a picture of every single chocolate that's inside the box, cut in half, and it gives you a description of what
you're yummy.
Well, that's for everybody but me, because I can totally tell you what the candy is inside. That's awesome, though.
For people who don't know.
Yes.
Right now,
Lisa, if I buy you a box of See's chocolate,
and like and bring assorted it in or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, an assorted box. You can look at the chocolate and tell us what it is.
If you're a real fan of See's, you can do that. Absolutely. Wow.
We should challenge her to that.
Yes, we should. Absolutely. Believe me, we're doing that tomorrow at the Kevin and Bean Show.
I will be listening, and you can use the app to actually see if she's right or wrong.
There you go.
You know what I love about the app is you're not going to get all finger pokes in your chocolate anymore.
Mm. What's the app called if people want to find it on iTunes?
It's called Choco Map. Right now we only have See's candies up, but we're going to work with everything. We're trying to get Ghirardelli, Godiva, Hershey's. We're uploading everything up.
That's awesome.
I have all the apps that start with Choco on my phone already. So.
Alex, I'm glad you called, sir. See, we've got some pretty creative, smart listeners out there, don't we?
We do.
Great ideas.
Is that it? Are we done?
Yes, we're out of time because
we have four other people that are
already... I know, but we're out of time.
Well, good work, people. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 4 minutes till 9.
We're going to get better every day. We're going to be tenacious. Something knocks us down. We're going to get back up, and we're going to keep coming and coming and coming and coming and coming.
Is there a point at which Chris Ballmer is too crazy to own a basketball team or no?
Look, compared to what we had?
Yeah, no kidding. I love crazy.
He's the sanest owner the Clippers have ever had. I'll tell you that right now.
I love
that. That is without hyperbole, he is the sanest owner of the Clippers in the past 20 years.
Go back to and look for Ballmer on YouTube when he worked at Microsoft and he used to come out and give those speeches. He crazy.
Yep. Yeah, he's definitely crazy.
Nothing gets in our way. Boom! Keep coming. Hardcore.
Yeah.
The hardcore Clippers. That's us.
That's us indeed.
Boom! Right.
Boom! It's the new era, ladies and gentlemen. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, and then I can't urge you enough to stick around because the International Man of Mystery, Doto, is going to be joining us here on the show.
And they keep coming and coming and coming, and you're in a van down by the river.
That's exactly who he is.
he's the best. I'm now a Clippers fan. I never was before. But, you know, there are rumors. Have you heard the rumors? Speaking of the rumors.
What?
That maybe he want to strip the team down to its bare bones, down to the foundation, and start again by renaming the team. Have you heard that rumor?
I have not heard that rumor, no.
Clippers go by the wayside. Brand new team. Because Clippers really was a San Diego thing because of the tall ships that would be down there docked in San Diego.
Right. Is this for real? You're not setting up a bit?
I'm not setting up a bit.
Okay.
And so people are saying with the new ownership and the new energy and forget the past and all that stuff, there have been rumors that there are thoughts now in the front office that maybe we're going to rebrand it with a brand new, more L.A.-centric name for the team.
And the punchline is?
There's no punchline.
And the joke is?
No, I'm telling you, this is a thing.
He'll never change the name of the Clippers.
Why would you say that?
He should change it to the Ballmers.
To the Cummers.
I think
coming, he even... coming, coming!
I think he even addressed that yesterday. I think somebody brought it up at his event yesterday, and he said, because the Clippers are the hottest name in basketball, why would I ever change it?
Mm-hmm.
He's in love with this team.
Let me tell you why
you
would change it. How about $1 billion in new merchandise sold?
Well, there's that. Interesting. Especially if and when the team does well, as they should.
This is what I'm saying, and they have
been.
By
the way, if any NBA team was going to change its name, it would have been either the Lakers when they moved to Los Angeles, and it made no damn sense out of Minneapolis. or the Jazz when they moved to the least jazzy place in the world, Salt Lake City, from New Orleans.
But that was back in the day before that kind of stuff happened. You were kind of stuck with a name and you just took it. You just could travel with it. The Dodgers, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Perfect example, yeah. Made no sense in California.
But now the names are changed all the time in franchise.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe so.
I hope they don't personally, because it always ends up sounding bad. Whenever they try to change a name on a team, it just sounds stupid. It just sounds dumb.
Yeah.
Wizards.
Yeah.
Washington right. Wizards.
But even the ones being
the
mentioned.
Pelicans.
At the beginning
the freaking
of
Pelicans. Come on now.
Yeah.
People. What if your name was Asshole?
There you go. How about the Los Angeles Asshores?
I like that very
now,
much.
Now that would be a team I could get behind, literally.
Whatever the Redskins are going to be, whatever their new name is.
I would get behind the Asshores all day long.
I like the Asshores. Whores, not horse. Just for the record. I'm not sure which one of you. I think both of you said horse.
Just saying.
I don't think we did.
All right.
I like the way your mind works.
Okay, good.
That was hardcore!
Yeah, that was hardcore right there.
Hardcore, baby!
All right, take it easy.
I am out of time. I burned up all my show this time talking about Asshores and Clippers. So I apologize to those of you who wanted showbiz news. I think an email the other day was like, there's a lot of tangents going on with the showbiz beat. Can you just do the showbiz news, please, and save the tangents for later? To which I answered, blow me. My 4 minutes, I will waste them as I see fit.
Sometimes two.
Sometimes two, depending on what they give me. Sometimes it's just birthdays. But all that matters is I have a good time.
Yeah. But you got to spread an unsubstantiated rumor today, though, so I feel like your job is done.
I think so, too.
I like it.
Plus, I'm also getting a chance to play a little Simon & Simon theme music.
Woo!
Gerald McRaney, his birthday, star of Simon & Simon. He's 67 years old today. Hit it, Steve!
No words?
Nope. Here it comes. Bring it. Cowbell.
Cowbell.
Yeah.
You know, I sometimes...
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up, Simon. Simon. Shut up.
I don't think we missed anything with this one.
One is named Simon. The other is Simon.
They're brothers. They fight crime. They're Simon and Simon. Their mother is a judge. Whatever will they do? She disapproves of them, even though they're private eyes. Yeah, that's a great theme song right there, little Simon.
That is pretty strong.
That's a great theme song.
You don't have strong theme songs anymore.
You really don't.
They don't take the time, I don't think.
That's for Gerald McRaney's birthday. He is 67 years old today. Everyone else's birthday, just who cares? Simon, Simon, it's all that matters. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Wanted to mention quickly that if you go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com, you can see all of the ice bucket challenges from mine to Lily Aldridge to Sarah Shahi. Mm-hmm. They're all up there in one place. And
awesome.
It's fun to look at those.
And a ton of they're coming in so fast and furious, a ton of the celebrity ones. Just in the last 24 hours, Jimmy Kimmel did a phenomenal one, by the way, where he put bags of ice in his pants.
No.
Didn't just pour water over his head, bags of ice in his pants. It's pretty awesome.
That seems like it's something that he regularly does.
And Ben Affleck is very funny, too. He ends up dragging his wife, Jennifer Garner, into the swimming pool, and it's very funny. You got to watch that one as well. So they're all up at krock.com. But enough of that nonsense. Hit it, Steve. I need some babes.
Kevin Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean. I need a woman.
Woo! I need a woman. I was in Vietnam. I definitely need a Korean woman.
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar.
Life's a box of chocolate, Bean.
Did you get her phone number?
Yeah.
Have you called it?
Yeah, I called and she changed her number.
How about that?
Why'd you tuck away some knives behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man.
I drank your milkshake.
Well, I'm sorry.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
And now the further adventures of Toto. International man of mystery, man. Yeah.
He is my personal lord and savior, and I understand we have him on a computer connection from Kuala Lumpur, which I think is in Malaysia right now. Hi, Doe. Can you hear us okay, buddy?
Hey, Bean, how's it going, man? How's Seattle, man?
Seattle's great. Los Angeles is great. We miss you. How long are you in Asia this time around, Doto?
About 3 to 4 weeks.
Uh-huh. And how's it going? What you doing over there?
Yeah, I'm just vacationing, Bean. I like to come to Seattle, Bean.
Wait. You're vacationing in Kuala Lumpur?
Yeah.
From what are you vacationing from?
No, I'm vacationing over there for a couple of weeks, Kuala Lumpur.
Taking a break from doing what?
I'm just traveling around Malaysia with the old man.
Okay, I got you.
Okay, yeah. Are you working at all? Do you have a job over there while you're in Malaysia?
Somewhat, yeah. Because my old man does real estate, so I'm kind of doing stuff with him in regards to real estate. He does a lot of real estate stuff.
Hey, are they still talking about the plane over there in Malaysia?
Oh, for God's sakes!
It's not as much as before, but it's but they still talk about it. But it's not like crazy like a month ago, Kevin Bean.
Okay, well, listen, Doe, we're delighted to have you, and the connection sounds great. You've been talking on Facebook to our producer.
But in terms of life purposes, because here's the deal, Kevin Bean. I'm about 6'2", and then I'm about 220 pounds, and then. Let's say if I wanted to get down to 170, would that be pretty good for my height, or would that be kind of too skinny, Kevin Bean, for my height?
I think it's a little skinny.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit too skinny, too. I don't think you want to be that thin, Dojo. How tall are you?
6'2".
Yeah, I don't think you want to be 170. I think that's too thin for you.
How about 190?
Yeah, 190's fine. Yeah. But are you seriously considering liposuction, which Facebook?
The reason why I bring it up is because I know that in Japan and Korea, a lot of people are paying money for cosmetic surgery because
$5,000 to $10,000 for lipo.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. It could be $10,000, it could be $5,000, it could be $3,000. Depends because I know that it's very those type of stuff is very popular over there because it could be prices are pretty affordable. That's all. Because I'm not saying I'm going to do it. I'm probably not going to do it, Kevin Bean.
Okay. Well, look, you're only talking about 20 pounds. I think it would be insane for you to consider surgery. You can easily lose 20 pounds, Doto.
Yeah. Here's still, Kevin Bean. If I do cardio, let's say 4 or 5 days a week, and I do weightlifting, and then if I'm eating a lot of fruits and vegetables, you think I can definitely lose that 3 months, Kevin Bean?
Yes.
I do, too.
Absolutely. Now, would this mean that you would have to cut back on the buffet? Because I know you love nothing more than the buffet.
Of course, Kevin. Yeah, I'm not deaf, of course. Cut back on the buffet maybe once a month, Kevin Bean.
What are you doing to create that noise on the other end of the phone? What is that beep, beep, beep sound, Doto?
It's just a TV. I just turned it off.
It's the TV.
Okay. Yeah, that's not a TV at all. So, Doe, have you been giving any more thought to how you're going to make it in the entertainment business?
I when I'm back in the States, Kevin Bean, if we have me go out to do interviews and do Ask Doto maybe a couple, maybe 2 or 3 times a month, I think that can help Kevin Bean.
I think it would help as well. It's very hard to get a hold of you, even when you're back here, though, Doe.
I'm not
saying that to make you feel bad. I'm just saying if you want to do regular stuff, we got to be able to get a hold of you.
Yeah, of course, Kevin Bean. If I want to do regular stuff, I've got to be consistent on my part. I know that.
Right.
I know that.
Now, let me ask you this. And again, this is the voice of our friend Doto calling us from Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia right now. I know you follow the American news quite closely, even when you travel. What advice do you have, Doto, for the citizens of Ferguson, Missouri, so that they can get along better with the police there?
Because you know what, Kevin Bean? I think a lot of beeping.
It's not the TV, I'll tell you that.
Do you think he's cursing? Hey, Doe, we literally can't understand you because the beeping is too much.
Do you know what's causing the beeping?
No, I already turned off, man.
Okay. It's not the TV. That's good news. I think it's something to do with the connection. Try again with Ferguson.
I think there's a lot of racial issues. I think that people should definitely be considered and hold cops accountable, right, Kevin? Because we don't want bad police officers going out and beating people or doing something for no reason, right, Kevin? I mean, we need to hold law enforcement accountable, Kevin. I think the law enforcement are pretty good people for the most part, but they're so.
See, Doto is saying one thing, but he's sending a completely different message via Morse code. Yes.
We're helping him spread
the word between the lines. Well, listen, Doto.
The time is now.
Beep, 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 beep. Whatever it was you said, I think I agree with. It was hard to make out. But when are you coming back to the United States when we can talk to you like a normal person?
In September.
September. Okay, that's not that far from now. Okay. Yeah. All right. Anything else we can do for you before we have to say goodbye, Doe?
I like to have a woman kept me in.
Now, have you met a woman while you're in Kuala Lumpur?
Yeah, I met this woman kept me. Her name is Dorothy Wu.
Sorry.
Her
name is what? Her name is what?
Dorothy Wu.
Dorothy Wu.
All right, and how's that going? Have you taken her out yet, Doe?
You know what? We're going to the movies. We might be going to dinner sometime this week, and I like to talk about Steven Seagal.
Well, I don't know that you lead with that.
Give me some advice. Maybe hold on to the Steven Seagal chunk until date two.
Yeah, I know that, Bean. I'm just joking with you, Bean.
That's Kevin. All right, Doe. Well, listen, let us know. Get back in touch with Dave via Facebook and let us know how the date goes. Please practice safe sex while you're over there, okay?
Of course. And, Bean, I like to make it in show business, Bean.
Right.
Well, I understand that's true. Doe, let us know when you get back. We're delighted to talk to you. Have a great time out there, okay?
Thanks, Ken Bean.
Okay, bye-bye, Doe.
Bye, Ken.
Toto, international man of mystery, man. Yeah!
Big Data on the world-famous K-Rock, and Dangerous is the name of that song. It is 9:39. If you'd like a pair of tickets to see Chivas USA versus the LA Galaxy, we're going to give four pair away right now. It's August 31st at StubHub Center. Tickets are on sale at cdchivasusa.com. Sorry, I'm a little confused.
Try that again?
A little confusing for me.
Let's clean that up.
Tickets on sale at cdchivas.com.
There we go.
Okay. So we'll take four callers right now, 10 through 13, 1-800-520-1067. Good luck.
And those teams love each other, so they always enjoy playing
against
one another.
They love each other,
right?
A lot, yeah.
That's
and
what I Chivas
understand.
Is spelled like Big fan. Chivas Regal. Like,
yeah, C-H-I-V-A-S, yes.
All right. Just want to make sure.
Hey, Ralph is here. Ah! Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's new? What's going on? What's happening?
It is a Tuesday. That means it's new release day. Here's what you can pick up if you want a new CD or DVD or a TV show on DVD. You can get My Everything by Ariana Grande. Well, that's a little presumptuous, isn't it, Ariana Grande? You're giving us your everything on that very first album. Maybe you want to save some for your second album. Maybe some of my thing you should just title that album. Dave can't wait to get the chance.
No, I'm so excited.
Because I like her, by the way. I like Ariana Grande.
Right, of course you do. Of course you do. All of you guys in the Hello Kitty 13-year-old girl club love the same stuff.
That Bang 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 song is awesome, Ralph. You've heard that,
right? Does not surprise me that you are there with Dave, and you guys go in your treehouse, and you pull out your Barbies, and you listen to your Ariana Grande.
Are you suggesting that perhaps we are we have a little arrested development when it comes to our musical tastes?
And gender development and just so many developmental issues.
It's not suggesting as so much as just saying
I'm
it right
accusing.
Out.
J'accuse, as they
we
say
just
in
like
France.
To get together in our pajamas and just watch 13 going on 30 in a sleepover.
I know.
That's all.
And pillow fight and just pull out your Lala Loopsies and braid each other's hair. You freaks.
I'd like to see video of that.
Waking the Fallen, Resurrected by Avenged Sevenfold is also available today. Black Hollywood by Wiz Khalifa. Sparks, the deluxe edition by Imogen Heap. Space Invader by Ace Frehley. There we go. You want the best? You got the best. The guy who used to be in Kiss has a new solo album.
Guy who was kicked out 20 years ago.
That's right. New DVDs, Amazing Spider-Man 2. Starring Andrew Garfield and the lovely Emma Stone, and The Quiet Ones, starring our buddy Jared Harris, also available. That was that spooky movie with that girl. Remember they go off to find
all
the
right.
girl, and she's possessed. Blah. Next thing you know, you're all going to die tonight.
All gonna
you know
die
what I'm tonight. Saying? TV shows on DVD, Boardwalk Empire Season 4, Once Upon a Time Season 3, Good Wife Season 5, NCIS Season 11, NCIS Los Angeles Season 5, Parks and Rec 6, Mindy Project 2, Parenthood 5, Revolution 2 in overtime.
I don't even know what sport we're playing. I can't even keep up with all these scores.
You are all going to die tonight.
That is a
too late
of a an audio.
Is that too late?
Drop that is pertaining something I did 2 minutes ago.
So too late. All right, my bad.
Speaking of new things, Taylor Swift has announced her new record. She's calling it her first official pop album. It's entitled 1989. That was the year she was born. It'll be out in October.
What does she mean by this, Bean? Did she used to be country?
That's she claimed she was country.
Some songs on the last album were still straddling the acoustic and the country. Yeah, a little bit.
But,
and then there were other pop ones. But this one,
but
she's
her
just
hits
leaving country behind.
Country hits. So she was a hit in top
top 40 radio.
Yeah, country radio had very little to play from the last album, absolutely.
All right.
So she said this is her first official pop album. It's all pop music now. Here's what she said regarding the new album. I woke up not wanting, but needing to make a new style of music. And new she has given us, my friends. They released the new song, Shake It Off. I'll tell you, it is unlike anything you've ever heard before, unless you've heard anything before.
If you've ever heard a pop song,
right, then you've heard this before. But if you've never heard anything before, then it's unlike anything you've ever heard before.
Hey, hey, hey! Just think, while you've been getting down and out about the liars and the dirty, dirty cheats of the world, you could have been getting down to this sick beat. My ex-man brought his new girlfriend. She's like, oh my god, but I'm just gonna shake. And to the fella over there with the hella good hair, won't you come on over, baby? We can shake, shake, shake.
You're all going to die.
Yeah!
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. The players are going to play, play, play. The haters are going to hate, hate, hate. She's just going to shake, shake, shake it off.
Right? I got to tell you, after hearing that again, how many times have we played it today? Three?
Three times.
I think I'm with Bean in that, not that I like it, but in that it's going to be a hit.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's going to be a monster hit.
It's going to be everywhere on every station. Seacrest is going to have it tattooed on his ass.
Oh, it's going to be painful.
And Valentine will have it skywritten above his home, and all those guys are going to worship at the altar. Of this
I like it. It's guy. A hit. Yeah. I think I'll keep watching it.
All right.
That guy, too. That guy also.
Yeah.
And you're coming around on it, though, right?
I am not.
She sure can't dance, though, right?
But that's the comedy of the new video.
Who's with me?
She's got all these dancers around her. She's like, oh, I'm dressed up in, like, bling and everything. And, look at me. I'm so awkward. Aren't I endearing? Isn't my lack of talent endearing? She asks you, the viewer, in her new video. To which I answer with a drone strike. That's how I'd like to respond to her. Ugh. Christy Mack, we've been talking about her. She is the adult film actress who was beaten brutally by her ex-boyfriend, War Machine, real name John Coppenhaver. She's getting lots of help from the entertainment industry, the adult entertainment industry, also from people who just are, like we all should be, against any form of violence in the home, domestically, against women, or in any situation like that. But she may have additional help coming to help pay for her reconstructive surgery. She's got a lot of broken bones in her face due to the beating. A Beverly Hills doctor named Harrison Lee has offered to repair her face for free.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's great.
He has stepped up.
Wow.
Interesting reason behind it, too. He is a highly trained mixed martial artist himself, like War Machine. And he believes the sport should never be abused and you should never use those skills to hurt anyone outside of the octagon. And
right.
So is a way to support the sport he loves and show how it should be done. He is going to offer up his services for free to help give her the reconstruction.
That's pretty cool.
Necessary.
Hey, we had her friend on last week to publicize the way online that we could donate money for her medical expenses.
Yeah.
Right, and she pointed out that they don't have health insurance. I mean, this is all going to be out of pocket, all of these expenses for her hospital stay and rehabilitation. So this plastic surgery has got to be a big load off her mind and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, adult actors are independent contractors. So they don't have a union or, you know, or insurance or anything that comes from the porn business. So,
well, good for him.
By the way, if I didn't make the news as much as I thought it would, but they did find War Machine a couple of days ago. He was tracked down to a hotel in California, and the marshals came in and arrested him. So
good.
He's at least behind bars now.
They found him in Simi Valley, and he has been apprehended. So that is good news. And Forbes has done it again. They've released another list of rich people. This list is the highest paid model list. Forbes magazine calculated the earnings of these models from June 2013 through June of this year.
Men, too, or just women?
Just the ladies. Tallying
up. You're not on this list this time, Kevin.
Yes, all right.
Tallying up each of their incomes from cosmetics, endorsements, advertising, fragrance deals, as well as their modeling work. So keep that in mind.
Okay.
As we play, who are the top 10 highly paid models of the world, according to Forbes?
And we're sticking with that title.
Still working on the title for that new game. At number 10, it's a four-way tie between Natalia Vadianova, Carolyn Murphy, Carly Kloss, and Jordan Dunn. They each made a paltry $4 million each over the past year.
Hardly worth getting out of bed for that kind of money.
But worth bells, I would imagine.
No, Kevin, they're all pigs.
There were no bells, that's all I'm saying.
Let's just assume
there's a blanket bell for everyone on this list.
A bell for everybody on this list. Except for Kate Moss, if she's on it.
She is on it. Alessandra Ambrosio and Hillary Rhoda each made $5 million. They tied at eight.
Kevin, you're getting some new names together here for your next Ice Bucket Challenge.
A four-way tie of the next tier between Kate Moss, Miranda Kerr, Liu Wen, and Kate Upton. They each made $7 million over the past year. Okay. Then you get into the rarefied atmosphere of the top three. Dotson Kraus.
Yeah, she's a good deal.
And Adriana Lima.
She's a good deal.
They tied with $8 million.
You might remember Adriana Lima, I think, is the one that was doing all those commercials for that car during the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
They each made $8 million. And then there's a significant gap between those who were tied in the second tier to the number one name on the list. Any guesses?
I'm afraid.
You're afraid?
It's got to be Giselle, right?
It is Giselle Bundchen.
It has to be Giselle.
Giselle Bundchen. Now, keep in mind, the next highest grossing model was Adriana Lima with $8 million. What do you think Giselle pulled in over the past 12 months?
I feel like we've talked about her in relation to how much money she makes compared to her husband. I think they're comparable, like $30 million or something, right?
$47
million. Wow!
$47 million.
She's on a TV show, right? Or no?
She's on a TV show?
Giselle? Is she not?
No, that's all modeling and endorsements, I guess.
Wow! How can there be that much of a difference between one and two?
Not on a TV show.
Okay, I was wrong. How can there be that much of a difference?
She makes more money than they do.
By five times number two? That's crazy.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
Wow.
Oh, maybe you were thinking of Simon and Simon. Wasn't she on Simon and Simon? That awesome TV show from the 80s? Hit it, Steve! Yeah.
I don't think that too hard.
Yeah, she's on Simon and Simon.
Ralph's playing this because it's Simon or Simon's birthday.
Simon's birthday.
It was Simon, are you sure? I think the listeners are missing something by not seeing your air drumming on this.
My air cowbell.
All right, we gotta move on.
Shut up, Simon, Simon! That is the Simon theme.
Fellas, it was sounding great, but
right?
I could have used a little more cowbell.
Couldn't we all? Gerald McRaney, star of that wildly popular TV series in the 80s, and went on to be a terrific actor in lots of different things. He was in Jericho, and he was in Southland. Remember, he was the...
incredible in Southland.
He was the guy who trained Michael Cudlitz's character on Southland. He's a terrific actor and all-around good guy. He was Major Dad, of course, for many seasons. 67 years old today. Bill Clinton is 68. Peter Gallagher turns 59. Adam Arkin is 58. John Stamos is 51 years old. Kira Sedgwick's 49, as is Kevin Dillon. Matthew Perry, 45 years old today. And Erica Christensen, the actress, is 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show. We have the Lisa Mae Sees Candy Challenge tomorrow.
Wow. How's she going to eat with her leaky gut?
She believes that she can tell what type of candy is in a mixed box just by looking at it.
She'll identify it, yes. And someone else will have to bite into it to see if the
Well, they give you a list, a piece of paper with what's in it usually, so we could at least check her against it. But yeah,
interesting.
Also, we're looking for people who fake their own death. We think that may be difficult to find, but...
Since they're in hiding?
Well, maybe. Maybe, but maybe they're back. Maybe they did it 20 years ago or something.
I remember a Simon Simon episode.
No, you don't. Remember that at all.
Oh, okay.
Chloe Grace Moretz will be on the program in a new movie called If I Stay. And comedian Bob Saget will join us in studio tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.